let the shaming begin, Manitoba.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Sunday, May 9th, 2021. This is your award-winning Give a Nation Media Assassination, episode 1345.
This is No Agenda.
Celebrating moms and broadcasting live from Opportunity Zone 33 here in the frontier of Austin, Texas, capital of the Drone Star State. Good morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're all safe and sound, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Well, that about sums it up. It's all good. We're safe and sound. We can end the show.
Yep. So long, suckers.
Yeah. Hey, do you have a 3x3 today?
No, it's Sunday, but I did do it anyway.
NBC, ABC, CBS. It's the 3x3.
Just needed to play the jingle, that's all. What did you learn?
Well, on CBS, John, the guy who runs this, Dickerson, running Open Your Eyes, CBS, or whatever the name of the show is, not sure.
Yeah.
Had the Secretary of the Commerce on, and he asked her about increased taxes.
Oh, this is some actual content on the morning show.
Yeah, yeah. And she said, she's a very strange-looking woman. She says, I've talked to all the CEOs about the new increased taxes.
Oh.
After Dickerson says that these seem pretty extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to all the CEOs, and they all agree that we need more infrastructure spending.
Oh, all of them.
So she never really said anything.
That's funny.
NBC was just all ads until Chuck. Todd came on with
yes.
just a bank of it, just a five bank, you know, the five box screen,
beautiful.
Which they picked
beautiful.
Up from MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just all reporters talking about yak, yak, yak. Who knows what they were talking about? But it was like, I guess Meet the Press now is literally Meet the Press. I thought it was.
They can't even get regular guests anymore. Or maybe everyone's a reporter. Everyone's either a reporter or on the payroll.
And then ABC had some black woman on there talking about racism.
Oh, yes.
And that's your whole.
Wait, you didn't get any more details? That's all you got? It's just some black lady just with some racism stuff?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Mm-hmm. Oh, geez. Okay. Well, I did a little bit of 3x3 scanning myself, and maybe just to kick it off today, just to show you how, because there's science has left the building. So it's no longer science. Science is no longer discussed. It's all marketing.
Hold on a second. At what point were the scientists actually calling the shots?
Well, the scientists have always been calling the shots, but now we're not talking about science. The scientists are still there, but the science has left the building. It's no longer about science. It's how do we most effectively convince everybody to get the poke, the jab, the shot in the arm? That's
okay,
it's about.
I'm going to, with some deal, a good deal of protest here, I'm going to say the scientists left the building back in the hydroxychloroquine era, but go on.
No, I said the science.
Okay, the science left the building at the hydroxychloroquine era when they jumped all over it.
But they were at least talking about science. Now it's not even that. The scientists are talking about convincing and removing hesitancy. That's what this is, all anti-hesitancy marketing. And in the United States, we know very well that if you really want to make change, if you really want to make change, you gotta go for the children.
And one more note before we leave you tonight, be sure to check out the new episode of Nightly News Kids Edition posting online tonight.
Were you aware of the Nightly News Kids Edition?
No, but I've been following something similar. And it's again from NBC, which is NBC LX.
Mm. Yes, exactly. Well, Lester,
NBC LX is Nightly News Kids Edition, as far as I'm concerned. Only it's kind of millennial or no, Zoomers news.
No, this is for younger kids.
Yeah. Well, you got to be. I'm waiting for a clip from one of these.
Oh, well, yes. Well, it was unbelievable. I mean, I tuned into this, and Lester Holt has a cool studio. He's got a couple of electric guitars on set, and he's dressed in his blue jeans and his
What, Lester Holt?
Yes, yes.
He's got, what's he got to do with kids?
Well, he's the host of the Kids Nightly News. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Yes, let's...
I want a kid host.
Oh, no, you're not going to get it. This is not intended to inform children. This is psychological warfare against children. And if you have a Kids Nightly News show, what would you want to talk about?
Well, if I had a Kids Nightly News show and what kids wanted to talk about, I'd talk about games.
Yeah, gaming,
video games,
yeah,
and new movies.
Maybe maybe do something good and say, you know, we shouldn't be on our phones all the time. Maybe try and slip in a little bit of parental propaganda.
Yeah, that would be just very good bit for a kids show.
Let's see what the producers at NBC Nightly Kids News did for us.
Coming up, kids and vaccines. One of the top health agencies here in the United States is reportedly set to approve Pfizer's vaccine for children between the ages of 12 and 15 as early as next week. Our Dr. John will be here with details. Plus, we'll answer your latest questions. Also ahead, it's a girl. This new bundle of joy is making her debut at a zoo in Europe. We'll head there to meet her. And happy Mother's Day. We'll take a look at how this holiday got started and share some fun ideas for how you can make your mom feel special.
This is NBC Nightly News, Kids Edition.
Okay, now, first of all, I hope they're not, that Lester Holt has to do this by contract and he's not getting paid more money.
He seems to be enjoying it. I think he feels very relatable. He's also has got the plaid shirt on, button, a little unbuttoned there.
The plaid shirt.
Yes, he has the plaid shirt and the blue jeans. Now, I like that they put, you know, Happy Mom's Day, some stuff you can do for your mom. And then there's a llama was born in the zoo. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm a kid, I'm like, okay, well, I'll watch for a little bit. What is this Pfizer crap? I don't know. Whatever. Get to the first story, Mr. Lester.
Welcome back to Nightly News Kids Edition. I'm Lester Holt. It is great to be with you. We've got a terrific lineup just ahead. In honor of Teacher Appreciation Day this week, we're going to introduce you to a teacher from New Jersey who is going the extra mile for her students. Plus, speaking of appreciation, our kid chef will be here with a treat you can make this Mother's Day weekend.
Okay.
But first, let's begin with one of the top stories as we continue to follow the coronavirus and the road to recovery.
Hey, kids, you're going to love this story.
We've got some good news to report this week here on the home front.
Good news.
Cases are actually dropping, and more states like New York and New Jersey are getting ready to lift more COVID restrictions.
Yeah.
This comes as there's word that a vaccine could be approved for some older kids. We know you have lots of questions, so let's get straight to them.
All right.
Hi, Lester Holt. Hi, Dr. John. My name is Penny.
Brother.
Now listen to this scripted kid, man. This is, you want to hear child abuse? This is child abuse 101 right here. And by the way, what kid gives a crap about this news story? That kid don't care. None.
Hi, Lester Holt. Hi, Dr. John. My name is Pranika, and I'm 6 years old, and I'm from Redmond, Washington. And I have a question. My dad got the first dose in Pfizer. So I want to know if he can get the second dose, the Moderna vaccine. And if he misses his chance to get
This is exactly what this child had on her mind. It's like my dad got
a 6 year old asking this question. Are they taking everybody as completely stupid? How much money did Pfizer give to NBC to do this bogus show, which won't be on long?
Well, we can only determine that by the answer. And the only appropriate answer to this child is, let's let her finish the question.
Start over and get the Moderna vaccine.
So the only appropriate answer is, oh, I'm sorry, your dad's going to die. So instead of that, no, let's bring in some metaphors and let's bring some props to explain to this child this very complicated question, which I know she's been struggling with.
Thank you. I love Kids Edition, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms.
Well, thank you for that. Two very good questions in there, Dr. John. One is, can you switch vaccines, have, you know, a dose of one vaccine and a dose of the other? And the other question is, you know, what that gap between the first and second dose. So what can you tell her?
Yeah, and the one important thing to know is if he gets one shot, he should follow up with a second shot. And here's exactly why. Think of the vaccines like shoes. You run out to play with your friend, and instead of getting two of the same shoes, you accidentally get two different shoes.
He's holding up sneakers.
It's not going to work very well. You're not going to be able to run as fast. You're not going to be able to jump quite as high. So if you get two of the same shoes, that's what works. It's the same with a vaccine. We know two of the same vaccines work really well. We don't know how well they work if you end up mixing them. So it's important that your dad, if he got Pfizer the first time, gets it the second time. Now, what? As far as how long he can wait, well, they have said if you can't get it when you're supposed to, you can wait a little bit longer, up to 6 weeks after getting that first dose.
Or he'll die.
Or 42 days. You don't need to restart all the vaccines again. But again, the important point is that he gets two vaccines of the same kind, just like you want two shoes of the same kind when you go outside and play.
Hey, who doesn't want yellow All-Stars? All right, our next question comes from Virginia.
Yeah, there you go. That is what NBC News is doing to your children. Of course, no child is watching this, obviously. Children are not stupid.
A kid is going to watch this crap.
And I'm only going to focus on United States marketing, because the European Union, the deal is sealed. It's done. Signed, sealed, delivered. Good work, everybody. Bonuses for all salespeople at Pfizer. Here is European Union Presidente von der Leyen.
We now concluded the negotiations with BioNTech Pfizer for a new contract. A new contract looking forward to the years 22 and 23. The new contract secures 1.8 billion doses of vaccines.
Oh my.
Getting ready for 22, 23, 24. Hey, everybody,
whatever, it doesn't matter.
It's going to be groovy. We're set here in the EU. 1.8 billion
dumb
doses.
EU. Now, there's a funny story that came out about the companies that have been requiring you or demanding you get the vaccine or you can't work there.
Mm-hmm.
A liability issue might crop up.
Oh, yes. Do you have?
If you think about it,
yeah.
So I'm required by this company to get the vaccine. I get sick as a dog from the vaccine. The drug companies have been made so they're not liable for this sort of thing. But a company demanding you get the vaccine might not be, and you might be able to sue a company into oblivion,
mm-hmm.
because they demanded or they required you had a vaccine, and especially because it's an experimental vaccine. That's the kicker. A lot of companies may be putting themselves at great risk. That's what I'm saying. I'd like to hear from some lawyers about this.
Let me see. I have a clip about this very thing. Yes, this is from CBS, who are jumping ahead just a little bit, but they clearly know what's coming.
Full FDA approval. On Friday, Pfizer became the first COVID-19 vaccine producer to request it. The Pfizer vaccine, along with Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, are currently operating under emergency use authorization due to the pandemic.
We want this vaccine to be around even when there isn't a public health emergency.
Richmond and RICO Deputy Director Dr. Melissa Varey and Virginia's Vaccination Coordinator Dr. Danny Avu say while it takes a full 6 months of data to be considered for full FDA licensure, there was still a tremendous amount of data that was collected before the emergency use authorization was granted. But they hope full approval can reassure those who are still hesitant.
Yeah, I think there'll be a small number of people who maybe feel more comfortable getting the vaccine now.
But Dr. Avula says full FDA approval of the shot, which he anticipates will happen in a few months, could have further implications, like potential governmental mandating of the vaccine.
Government couldn't mandate a vaccine that was under an emergency use authorization. Now that we, you know, may be seeing.
I love this guy. He is implying that if it's not under, if it's just approved, that it can be mandated by the government. That's what this a-hole is saying.
Governmental mandating of the vaccine.
Government couldn't mandate a vaccine that was under an emergency use authorization. Now that we, you know, may be seeing this move to full licensure in a few months, that does open up the possibility.
Dr. Avula says that won't happen here in Virginia, as Governor Northam has made it clear he wants the Commonwealth to focus on incentivizing Virginians to get the vaccine and focusing on its positives.
But there are a lot of entities that we don't have control over that may choose to require vaccination.
Dr. Rabuli anticipates full FDA approval may encourage other private entities like healthcare systems, employers, and colleges to begin requiring the COVID vaccine. In fact, more than 100 colleges have already decided to do just that, including Virginia Wesleyan University in Norfolk. Vice President Keith Moore believes it's the safest decision for students and staff.
And so this is no different than whether it be meningitis or rubella or the like.
No different.
Upon entry, all students in the Commonwealth of Virginia are required to provide vaccination records.
Now, we reached out to VCU Health and Bon Secours to see if they had any plans to require the vaccine. As of now, they say they're highly encouraging associates and teammates to get it.
Teammates? Yeah, they're not going to have to mandate anything, John. Everybody I know has gotten the shot. Everybody, across political lines, except for my wife, myself. I'm pretty sure my daughter has not taken a shot. You? Everybody else, I think, is all on, well, Sir Gene, but everyone else is all on board. They're not going to need to mandate anything.
Which brings me to a note from Julie. The narrative that is being pushed regarding Republican evangelical Christians refusing to take the vaccine interests me. I'm involved in a large multi-church Bible study, and the people who make up most of the community around me fit the category of conservative evangelicals. Interestingly, most of them have taken the vaccine, which is completely the opposite of the narrative. I only know a handful that have not. Generally, the ones who haven't taken the vaccine seem to be under 50, and the ones that have taken it are over 50. In my personal experience with this conservative community, hesitancy seems to be correlated more with age than political and religious beliefs.
Yep. But it doesn't play well on television. It's much more fun to say Republicans, you know, religious nuts. And they took this to an extreme level over the weekend. The Pope, or the guy currently known as the Pope, held the Vatican Pontifical Council Conference. This was a big deal. It was a big shebang. All kinds of celebrities, including Chelsea Clinton and other very important people. And you cannot have anything happen, anything going on without, of course, Dr. Fauci being a part of it. It was all virtual. It wasn't in Rome or anything cool, or at the Vatican. It wasn't anything cool. When you've got Dr. Fauci, you might as well bring in our buddy Jose Gupta.
I'm curious, Dr. Fauci, in the minute or so we have remaining, going back to just this inflection point between science and faith. There's a lot of vaccine hesitancy in the world. We see around a quarter, 20 to 25% in the United States. To some extent, people need to believe, based on the evidence and the facts and the data, that this is a good thing to do, that it's going to help them protect them and make them less likely to transmit the virus. What do you say to people right now, maybe even friends of yours, I don't know, who are vaccine hesitant?
Well, you've got to connect them with people they trust.
This is the messaging. It's no longer you can give them the data, you can tell them this is safe, this is what's happening. No. It's all about get an influencer on their ass.
Who are vaccine hesitant.
Well, you've got to connect them with people they trust. The thing that we're finding out, that it depends, you have who is the audience and who is the messenger. You've got to match the messenger with the audience.
Fauci now apparently marketing mastermind. You know, the way you do it is you got to match the audience with the messenger.
The messenger with the audience. And I think if you do that, you're going to overcome a lot of the hesitancy. When you go into the, you know, into the trenches, and you have someone who's a deeply religious person who will listen to their clergy, that's different than me with a suit going into an area telling people to do something.
I think most people would listen to you, though, Dr. Fauci. I'm just putting it out there, you know. Thank you very much for your time. One of my great aspirations, dreams, is that we get to spend some time together in person in the next several months. So hopefully you get to do that.
Okay, Jose took this to heart, man. Our buddy from CNN, Jose Gupta. He's like, okay, let me think. The audience, Oh, well, what could the audience be? Let's try some brown people. Let's get some brown people. Maybe I can talk to some brown person and everyone will trust that brown person. Jose, you're on, man.
Hey, Sanjay.
Hey, Rosie. Good to see you. What's going on?
So I'm going to hit you up.
What's going on? Like, it's amazing. I just all of a sudden saw you. Why are you here? You have no relevance at all in show business, but now you're here with me.
Hey, Sanjay.
Hey, Rosie. Good to see you. What's going on?
So I'm going to hit you up for some medical advice, if that's okay, that I use you a little bit. Here.
Yeah, of course. Use me.
Okay, say someone already had COVID.
She's not a doctor, by the way.
Right?
That person would still need to get the vaccine.
What? What, Jose? By the way, Troll Room, we know it's Sanjay, but his new name is Jose, okay?
Troll Room can't keep up.
No. But did you hear what he just said?
Yeah, I heard what he said. It's disgusting.
Someone already had COVID, right?
That person would still need to get the vaccine.
Okay,
but so hold on a second. Did she ask that question? She could be talking about something. The question could be, say somebody had COVID and they went swimming. Is that a healthy thing to do when you have COVID?
Yeah. Yes.
But no. She just says, say somebody has COVID and he jumps in. Unless you edited it.
Or unless it was... No, I didn't edit. This is a 29-second PSA. These are PSAs. This is not a segment. It's a PSA. Sure. Yes, that's a very good point. You'd think it was scripted if that happens.
Excuse me.
Okay, someone already had COVID, right?
That person would still...
You're right. That's a very odd... She's rude. He's rude towards women, interrupting them, mansplaining on the spot. You're right. She may say someone had COVID, and you're right. Her next question could have been anything, but no, not for Jose.
You still eat bologna. Yeah.
Say someone already had COVID, right?
That person would still need to get the vaccine.
Okay, Sanjay, you're like really scary right now. You're like a mind reader, but yeah, that was my question.
Even if you've already had COVID, you still need to get vaccinated. And Rosie, keep wearing a mask.
Always. Thanks, Sanjay. You're the best.
Wow. He's a mind reader. what can I do with black people? We've done the brown people, black people. Maybe I can get someone relevant. Maybe one of those guys from Hamilton.
Sanjay, you there?
Hey, David.
I'll make this quick. Listen, I have some questions.
What's on your mind?
This vaccine, I'm nervous. I got songs to write. Will I still be able to do that?
It'll be fine, David. Science is what you need.
Science!
The vaccine is safe, my friend. It's going to bring this pandemic to an end. See what I did there?
Yeah, okay. I trust it. Thanks. Oh, and Sanjay, don't do that again.
David, I don't know. I thought I was spitting fire.
Oh, my God. How much money did Pfizer pay this guy?
Well, it must have been a lot because Moderna is struggling. I mean, they're still trying to do some counter-programming on TikTok, but the message is off. It's not necessarily what people want to hear, and I feel their choice of talent is subpar. I mean, Dr. Nock is just not cutting it.
Are you ready for some excellent COVID news? It's about the variants, but good news about the variants. I'm a scientist who studies COVID-19. Today is Thursday, May 6th. Moderna already has some data from its phase 2 clinical study of a variant-specific booster shot designed to address the most concerning variants. The variant booster is just one dose, not another two. The study included 40 people who had all received the regular Moderna doses 6 to 8 months ago. They measured antibody neutralization activity in these people against some of the new variants, including B1351 and P1, and they found that about half of the people had basically no neutralization activity against some of the new variants, but that was before the booster. And they gave everyone the one-dose booster, waited 2 weeks, measured their neutralization potency again, and every single person had really good neutralization activity against the new variants. Don't forget to like and follow.
Yeah, no one wants a booster. This is not the message.
Nobody wants a booster, but nobody wants to hear this nonsense about neutralization factors.
No, of course not. It's
like, what are they talking about? This guy's nuts.
I mean, we wouldn't even take their business anymore. The Curry Dvorak Consulting Group is not interested in Moderna's business. You have your head up your ass. I don't think we can save you. We cannot save the company. Unless you have an idea. Good. I mean, I think it's done for them. It's just over. Over. There was some real science news, which made...
What?
Yeah, it actually got on the opinion page of the New York Times. That's almost as funny as having Donald Trump on the entertainment pages at Huffington Post. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He's not for real. We'll put him on the entertainment news page. So this belongs in the opinion page instead of in, I don't know, science, technology, or anything. Something that producers of the show and Gitmo Nation knew about a year ago when we talked to the dog.
The CDC updated its website to explain how coronavirus is transmitted. The agency emphasized inhalation is one of the main ways COVID-19 spreads. They also placed less attention on the risk of picking up the virus from surfaces. The change is in line with the gradual shift to stress the virus spreads through the air, either breathed in or through the eyes. The CDC says people who are closer than 6 feet from an infected person are most likely to become infected themselves. The agency is also prepping for the need for seasonal COVID-19 vaccine booster shots.
So, a piece of actual good news, which is this is aerosols, which have no chance outside in regular weather, where aerosols do remain hanging in the air, where you can walk into them and breathe them in, is in places like meatpacking plants. And all of this is known. All of this was discussed a year ago. And now they're going to take this and turn it around and abuse it to say, yeah, it's the aerosols. You're really going to need a booster. You're just going to need a booster. There's just no two ways about it. Yeah, it's just going to need a booster. And you're going to need your vaccine passport. On the off chance the vaccine passport thing becomes a thing, which, again, I'm just not going to think it will be that. Everyone is vaccinated. Oh, except Mo, of course. You know, Mo is not. He's not vaccinating his kids either, with good reason. But just to make sure that you're not going to, you know, do something like a bunch of a-holes with a podcast, we're going to let you know that we got our eye on you.
This California bar owner arrested this week after authorities say they uncovered 2 filled out vaccine cards, 30 blank ones, and laminating machines. The county's district attorney saying all to make fake vaccination cards.
You know, anytime you're looking at identity or fraud related cases, it's greed. It's plain and simple, it's greed.
Alcoholic Beverage Control received a tip the cards were allegedly being sold inside Todd Anderson's Old Corner Saloon in Clements. So they say they went undercover, buying some too.
Our agents were able to purchase 4 fraudulent cards.
$20 a piece, but the consequences, expensive.
$20 is the value of a human's life by this individual.
No.
Because by not telling the truth about whether or not you've been vaccinated, you expose all of us to greater harm.
Murder.
Anderson's arrest is the first in California. But with places like Chicago and New York considering vaccine passports for sites like stadiums and concert venues, there's concern among law enforcement, like California's Attorney General Rob Bonta, that it could start a trend of more fraudulent cards.
Trend.
The fraudulent vaccination card gets you a vaccine passport, then it'll be in higher demand. It'll be more sought after.
And since the CDC rolled out vaccination cards, scams and how-to guides popping up online.
Yep.
Over 40 attorneys general recently issuing letters to eBay, Twitter, Shopify, and OfferUp, urging them to help fight the problem. The website's telling us they are working to remove fraud.
There's a concern that it could be, you know, in the thousands, and we can't have that. Mm. And it was significant enough that it got the attention of over 40 attorneys general throughout the United States. But my message is, don't do it. Get a vaccine. They're available.
So what happens if you buy a fake card? Well, it's considered a fraudulent medical document. And the DA we spoke to said her office is working with the state and the feds. And she says they will fine you if you bought one.
Ooh, they're going to fine you if you bought one. How about that?
Well, if you didn't buy one, what if you just got it online? They are online. Many health departments across the country just have it there as a PDF file for the doctors.
Yes, they should all be sued. Fine.
Hung by the nuts.
Now, here's a doctor from a very reputable hospital, and this is not your typical crazy nut job doctor, but somehow, if you just listen to his answer to the question, is natural infection for children better than vaccination, which is something I haven't really heard discussed. You know, we've talked about it. You used to have the chicken pox party, and shoot, when I was a kid, you got German measles. You didn't have a shot at the time. You got German measles, and you lived through it. You know, I don't think I remember anyone dying from it. I do remember German measles was dangerous for girls, and, you know, we had to be careful. You know, it's just snippets of stuff I recall, but the immunity you get from natural infection, is that better than immunity you get from a vaccine as a child? That's a very good question. Hasn't been discussed. Listen to this man twist himself into a pretzel.
Hi, my name's Paul Offit. I'm talking to you today from the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. One question parents reasonably ask is, isn't natural infection better than immunization? Well, I mean, I'm a man in my 60s. I was a child in the 1950s. I had measles. When I had measles, I developed an antibody response that is probably threefold greater than what children will get if they get a vaccine. But what I didn't have to suffer by being naturally infected was I didn't get pneumonia, which could have caused me to be hospitalized. I didn't get encephalitis or infection of the brain, and I didn't die. I mean, every year in the 1950s, everyone got measles by the time they were 9 years of age. That meant that 3 to 4 million people every year would get measles. About 48,000 would be hospitalized with pneumonia or encephalitis, and 500 would die. Fortunately, I wasn't one of those people, but I could have been. So the better question isn't... natural infection better than immunization? The better question is immunization good enough? Can immunization induce an immune response that's good enough to prevent and arguably eliminate these diseases? Well, we have the answer for measles. When we had a second dose measles vaccine recommendation in 1991, that meant that all children in this country were recommended to receive a measles vaccine when they were 12 to 15 months of age, and again at 4 to 6 years of age. With that, we eliminated measles from the United States, eliminated it by the year 2000. The only reason that it's come back recently is that a critical number of parents have chosen not to vaccinate their children. So I think the good news about the measles...
How can something be eliminated then come back only because of vaccinations?
No,
it's not, eliminated. It's eliminated.
No, it's not because of vaccinations. Because of horrible parents.
I mean, well, only horrible parents wouldn't vaccinate their children, but...
Yeah.
If it's eliminated, it's eliminated. Hello?
That's my point. The guy's a pretzel. He's a total pretzel.
And all children in this country were recommended...
Pretzel
boy.
...receive a measles vaccine when they were 12 to 15 months of age, and again at 4 to 6 years of age. With that, we eliminated measles from the United States. Eliminated it by the year 2000. The only reason that it's come back recently is that a critical number of parents have chosen not to vaccinate their children. So I think the good news about the measles vaccine is it induces an immune response that's good enough to have eliminated that virus from this country without asking children or having children risk the severe and occasionally fatal effects of a natural measles infection.
All right. So what he said there was, even though it's three times better, the immunity children get from a natural infection can be three times.
He said six.
Oh, okay. I thought it was three, but okay, six. You still, you know, you have a chance of dying and killing everybody and bringing it back somehow. This is not science, not science. And there's a lot of not science going on.
And when Gupta says get a vaccine if you already had it, that's not science.
That's not science. That's a command.
SARS-1 has been studied to death, and it shows that people who had got it still have strong immunities 10 years later.
Yeah, but what they're finding is that people who get the Moderna or Pfizer jabs, or perhaps the Johnson & Johnson, their immunity tapers off after 6 months. It's all in the numbers, man. Remember, it's 99% certain you won't die from COVID. But let's do a fact check Friday, everybody. Let's go into something. Again, it's those assholes on podcasts who are making trouble. They're now saying that women are having odd menstrual issues. Unvaccinated women are having very strange, irregular menstrual issues when they are around vaccinated women. I think we need to address this with some science. With a Fact Check Friday.
And the biggest fight against the coronavirus these days is against vaccine hesitancy. For this Fact Check Friday, I explain how some of the leading online misinformation driving that right now is aimed at women.
Women in their menstruating years and not are experiencing severe side effects from people around them.
I just got to stop this. So he, right off the bat, this guy is claiming the latest round of disinformation is targeted at women. So women who I see on Telegram or see on Twitter who are emailing me, those women are in fact committing disinformation against women. Women are pretending that these things are happening to disinformationize other women.
In their menstruating years and not are experiencing severe side effects from people around them having received this jab.
You heard that right. One influencer claiming that just being around someone who's been vaccinated causes those side effects. That not only can the COVID-19 vaccines hurt women's fertility by attacking the placenta, they cause a vaccinated person to shed the virus onto women and affect their periods or pregnancies. So the first part, as I reported here on...
Stop. Can you start that clip over?
Sure I can. Is there something in particular? There's a lot of things you want to stop for in this one, but yeah.
Well, the idea that the vaccine attacks the placenta, he just glosses that right over to go on to the point he's trying to make.
He just threw that in there, and for a good reason.
You heard that right. One influencer claiming that just being around someone who's been vaccinated causes those side effects. That not only can the COVID-19 vaccines hurt women's fertility by attacking the placenta, they cause a vaccinated person to shed the virus onto women and affect their periods or pregnancies. So the first part, as I reported here on Fact Check Friday before, the WHO says it's not true.
The vaccines we give cannot cause for infertility.
The findings of a CDC...
Okay, that is the only medical professional you'll hear. He has this whole thing about the placenta, and her answer is clearly snipped from something else. Yeah, you can't become infertile from it. Nothing about the placenta, nothing about irregular menstrual issues, none of that. No. Let's just throw that little snippet in there. I think that's a... is that a whipsaw of sorts?
I don't think so.
You think it's a whip or a saw, maybe half?
I don't think it's anything other than just a random clip you threw in. It's not off the subject or enough so, I think, to be a whipsaw.
Okay. It's science, that's for sure.
The COVID-19 vaccines hurt women's fertility by attacking the placenta. They cause a vaccinated person to shed the virus onto women and affect their periods or pregnancies. So the first part, as I reported here on Fact Check Friday before, the WHO says it's not true.
The vaccines we give cannot cause for infertility.
The findings of a CDC study published in February showed many more women, 79%, experienced side effects from the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, but they also found no unusual or unexpected reporting patterns detected. The preliminary results of a study in the New England Journal of Medicine in April did not show obvious safety signals among pregnant persons who received mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. So about the second part, about those who've been vaccinated shedding virus particles and causing harm to others, I have found no scientific document or source that says it's even possible with the mRNA vaccines or the J&J vaccine.
Notice there's no scientists.
And the overwhelming consensus from doctors and scientists is that the vaccines are safe.
It's like climate change. Consensus.
That says it's even possible with the mRNA vaccines or the J&J vaccine. And the overwhelming consensus from doctors and scientists is that the vaccines are safe and effective at holding off the most serious cases of the coronavirus. They do say you should talk to your doctor about any...
Notice it also says it's effective at serious... Listen again.
And the overwhelming consensus from doctors and scientists is that the vaccines are safe and effective at holding off the most serious cases of the coronavirus.
Effective at holding... Can you turn your speakers down just a tad? Effective...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Effective at least holding back
doctors and scientists holding that the vaccines are safe and effective at holding off the most serious cases of the coronavirus.
Holding off the most serious cases. You'll still get it, but it'll hold off.
They do say you should talk to your doctor about any questions or concerns you have. I am always
searching for more. Wait, listen to this. Listen to the end. It's important you hear the whole report.
Concerns you have. I am always searching for more ideas for Fact Check Friday. You can email them to me at adrian.witset@wcpo.com.
I feel like I need to have that conversation about shedding with my daughter, Adrian. You know, my teen daughter, because they're the ones that watch all that.
And it's all online, yeah. Julie.
Ooh, it's all online where evil takes place.
What are they talking about?
About the shedding videos.
First of all, the thing they were talking about initially, because I've had those clips, it was shedding of the spike protein, not the virus.
No, some will say the vaccine, all kinds of different things they're saying.
Yeah. Now, the problem I have with all these theorists, including the doc, that one woman who's the head of that group that's most hysterical of them, it seems to me,
yeah.
she uh, talks about this, and but I would like to see if anything's being shed whatsoever. I want to see some microscopic evidence of this, whether it's the spike protein. Now, that one woman suggested some pheromone effect, which I, you can't argue against that.
Well, you can, but the McClintock effect has never been proven.
But you, yes, but if, no, you, what I mean is you can't do what I'm just about to do, which is show me some evidence of spike proteins being shed.
Oh, right. Oh,
I show me some evidence of, I can't no. say, well, show me, because they can't do the pheromone thing anyway. It's no. like half, it's mysterious.
Yeah.
So, so I'm not buying the spike protein thing being shed.
Oh, and I don't know what it is either. And I don't know if it's shedding or whatever it is. In fact, one of our,
and it could be mass hysteria.
Could be. One of our producers sent me in a note. Let me see if I have this here. Longtime producer propagator, after hearing you and JCD talk about unvaccinated women experiencing menstrual irregularities after being around vaccinated people, I don't know if you've heard anything about men, but I've seen several people claim that they've had headaches, nosebleeds, and testicular pain after being around vaccinated people. My coworker was vaccinated last Monday, and I worked with him all day Saturday. Then 2 days later, I experienced horrible testicular pain, which I've never experienced before. One friend of mine, his child got the first, you know, as a teenager, he got his first shot of, I don't know which one it was. And my friend said he felt really kind of icky and sick for 2 days. And then when the kid got the second shot, he felt exactly the same. You know, he felt the same kind of ickiness around because of his kid. I don't know what it is. Who knows? But just to dismiss it as a conspiracy theory, that's not very scientific. Or just to say, well, shut up. You know, shed. It's not shedding. Okay, is it something else? They're not answering that. And so now, luckily, some things are coming to light, such as the VAERS database, the Vaccine Adverse Reactions Events,
it's not promoted to be reported. A lot of people never report, most people.
Well, this is the point. There is no good reporting system. There has never been one, only this shitty-ass VAERS database, which is all we've ever had to go on. We've talked about it for over a decade. And, you know, the reason why is it doesn't matter because there's no recourse. You still have to go to the vaccine court, and the U.S. taxpayer might give you money if they determine that it's valid. You had some damage due to a vaccine, but they don't make it very easy. And I think this is what they call surveillance. You know, you want to know how people did, what happened, if people died or had severe reactions to the vaccine. It would make sense to me that we had a database that the CDC really maintained and people were very anal about and double checking and calling people and following up, you know, the kind of idiotic shit we did with testing and tracing. No, instead, we just keep these VAERS databases as the only source so that you can then get headlines like this from Yahoo News. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican. Cites commonly misused data to suggest vaccines linked to deaths. And then they go in to say that, you know, this VAERS database, it's not intended to really use for reporting or really have any good data. It's not.
For anyone out there, track this database down and look at it. It's hilarious. It's like comedy gold.
So,
woman gets shot 5 minutes later, dead.
So the point is,
woman gets shot, takes one step, drops dead.
The doctor who the producer, TV producer for the doctors, who I played a clip from the Vax documentary, who said, hey, man, the medical industry not only produces my show, it produces all of television. Well, he's out there and he's doing interviews and he discussed the VAERS database specifically.
Nobody ever enforced VAERS. Most doctors, if you ask them, don't even know what it is. They couldn't tell you. They're not using it. And this was exemplified when in 2010, the CDC took $1 million in taxpayer money to investigate VAERS to see how efficient it was at capturing all of these vaccine injuries. And what they discovered, and by the way, part of the job of that $1 million was to try and automate a system. Could they automate it so that it would capture capture all of the injuries. So what they discovered in their study was that VAERS is capturing less than 1% of the total amount of injuries that are occurring. That was a shocking discovery. We knew it was underreporting at some level. Nobody realized it was really that bad. They also automated their own Harvard Pilgrim Health System and showed that they could capture all of the injuries so that better data collection could happen. And what's really horrific is at the end of that study, it says, the writers say, once we had all this information, once we had gotten the automated system online, we reached out to the CDC to then implement it into a national system. The CDC stopped returning our phone calls, stopped returning our emails, absolutely just shut down, never responded to Harvard again on that study. So here you had the CDC, Harvard, the greatest medical school in the world, had developed a way to automate it so that we would be better at capturing these injuries. And instead, CDC shut it down because it didn't like what it was seeing when it was seeing all of the injuries. And now we find ourselves in this moment where the FDA and the CDC are telling us, unfortunately, we don't have a good surveillance system for the amount of the 100 million vaccines we've just or more given out here in America. We really don't have a good way of tracking the health outcomes of those systems.
That's everyone should be outraged about that. That's not even.
I'm outraged now.
It's not even there's no way to divide it politically. It's just, hey man, 100 million shots. We should know how this is going. There's no control group. We know that.
They don't want you to know for the obvious reasons. If you look at the VAERS database already, and it's only reporting 1/100th of all the accounts, and you see it. It's like woman gets shot, gets in car, keels over dead. Woman gets shot, or man gets shot. It's not just women. But this, it's one thing after another, and some of this stuff is like, wow. You know, arm falls off. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Del Bigtree, that is indeed the name I have for him. He actually quantified the 1%, because that's, you know, it's kind of random, or to me it sounds right. Well, it's only 1%, and even though we have this study from Harvard, which we never heard from again, he quantifies it with some data that he dug up.
I did a show last week where we cross-referenced several different parts of VAERS, whether it was anaphylaxis or different things, and what we proved, and I'm not going to go through because it took me 40 minutes to do it, but we proved it's still only capturing 1%. Which means when we look at the 3,000, roughly 200 deaths that are on VAERS right now from the coronavirus vaccine, we must assume, based on what Harvard said and what our cross-referencing study showed us, that means that 300, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 320,000 people or more have been killed by this vaccine, and it's only been out for 3 months. And so when we get back to that conversation of Bill Gates saying this is the best way forward, that risk reward ratio disappears. We have, you know, over 500,000 deaths supposedly from COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2. We already have over 300,000 deaths in 3 months. This vaccine is tracking to kill far more people than the virus ever dreamed of killing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice baby. Clip of the day.
Ooh, yeah baby, it's killing, it's doing its job. Yeah,
clip of the day.
And now an important update from Chicago.
One final note, United Center spokespeople telling us that there is a mandatory face requirement for anyone over the age of 2.
Bring your face.
You have to have a face? That stinks.
Mandatory face. Does that mean no mask? Because I kind of like that.
Yeah, that'd be the day.
Mandatory face requirement. Well, excuse me, sir. We have a mandatory face requirement in process here. Mm-hmm.
Ah. Well, let's go to India.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you have India stuff. I'm glad you do. What is going
now,
on?
Now, the India thing is that, well, this is the report. This is the most recent report, and it's worse than ever, of course, every time you turn around. And it's really, really, it's beginning to look like just targeting Modi. But let's go with India, COVID India, full update, Modi.
India's.
Oh, I'm sorry. Full update, Modi. Okay.
The suffering in India shows no sign of letting up today. The government confirmed more than 400,000 new infections. Nearly 42.
By the way, there it is, already conflating infections with cases. Just because you're testing on a PCR,
well, actually you're conflating positive tests
yes.
with cases with infections.
It's two levels removed.
The suffering in India shows no sign of letting up today. The government confirmed more than 400,000 new infections, nearly 4,200 deaths, and the real numbers may be even higher. And NPR's Lauren Freer joins us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks always higher.
For being with us.
Hi, Scott.
We've been watching the situation in India deteriorate for some weeks now. India is a country of such enterprise and genius. Any sign things may be improving?
Not really. Unfortunately, the past 24 hours have been the deadliest here since the pandemic began. But the truth is that we actually don't know the real picture because testing has slowed. We're weeks into this wave and hospitals are still overwhelmed. We're seeing shortages of beds, medical oxygen, antiviral drugs. I mean, pretty much everything you need to treat and help people.
And why hasn't the federal government put a national lockdown into place?
Well, local lockdowns are in place, and the southern states of Tamil Nadu and Karnataka are actually the latest to lock down. But India's economy shrank 24% last spring under a national lockdown.
Nice.
So Prime Minister Narendra Modi doesn't want to repeat that. He is under pressure, though. The Lancet Medical Journal has an article out today calling Modi's response inexcusable.
Oof, inexcusable. What, his response that he, what?
To the current situation, I'm going to ask you this. I thought the Lancet Medical Journal was about research papers and medicine and not editorializing about somebody being a dick.
No. I think that they just publish. Isn't that the whole point? Publish peer reviewed.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, but now that if you go back and play that end of that clip again. The Lancet Medical Journal came out and we've, by the way, they've had some phony public, scandal.
Yes.
Less than a year ago about some crap they published.
Yeah, let's listen to the last bit. Here.
Lockdown. So Prime Minister Narendra Modi doesn't want to repeat that. He is under pressure, though. The Lancet Medical Journal has an article out today calling Modi's response inexcusable.
Oh, I see. They're getting political. That's interesting. Their wheelhouse at all.
Woke. The woke Lancet Medical Journal. They're woke.
They're dangerous.
So here we go with this is the second part of this. This is part two, and it continues with this nonsense.
The Lancet Medical Journal has an article out today calling Modi's response inexcusable, saying Modi's government is, quote, responsible for presiding over a self-inflicted national catastrophe.
Self-inflicted.
That's a very grave charge. Has Prime Minister Modi or his government responded?
Yes.
Modi is kind of gone AWOL, actually. He last addressed the nation on television more than 2.5 weeks ago. I have contacted seven spokespeople for Modi's party or government in the past few days. Nobody has been available for an interview. Actually, a lot of them are sick themselves. The president of Modi's party, JP Nadda, did hold a press conference a few days ago about another topic, actually, state elections. But as you can imagine, he was asked about COVID, and here's what he had to say.
We are fighting it. Prime Minister Modi is taking meetings, discussing, taking very proactive steps.
So the message from Modi's party is the Prime Minister is on top of this.
Okay,
and
good.
He's actually holding meetings, including a virtual meeting with EU leaders today.
What about the vaccination effort? Is it in any way helping to slow the spread of the virus?
Not well. A week ago, the government opened up eligibility to everyone over the age of 18. But frankly, it was more of a PR stunt. At least that's what it looked like, because there just aren't enough doses to go around.
Nothing on the patents, the vaccine patents?
Well, maybe there is something like that in part three.
Oh, alrighty then.
India's actually the world's biggest vaccine maker, the Serum Institute of India, has been having production problems. Its CEO hopped a private jet to the United Kingdom amid all of this. He's mired in disagreements with the government of India. And so the lesson here just may be about countries putting all their eggs in one basket. When it comes to vaccine production, India relied on basically one company for the vast majority of its supply.
Like the EU.
And now, you know, everyone I know has had their vaccination appointments canceled. Only around 2% of people in India have received two doses of the vaccine.
And Pierre's Lauren Freire in Mumbai. Thanks so much.
Oh, in Mumbai.
There was something else that she mentioned, and I think it was in the first clip. She says the hospital's bed shortage and a lack of antiviral medicine, mm-hmm. which means ivermectin,
I guess,
and hydroxychloroquine would be the two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we in this country do not recognize any antiviral medicine. You're supposed to just get the disease and drop dead.
There was a doctor on Tucker Carlson, and there was a longer interview on the Tucker's Fox Nation thing, which I have not yet seen. This guy was, and he's a reputable doctor. He's saying something's up, man. This is like some weird group think, and we're not treating people at all. We're just, it's the shot or you're dead. It's like, come on in, you can sit here and we'll, you know, whatever, but they're not treating. And there's something to be said for that. It's like, what is the medical community in the United States, at least, what are they doing? And I just had an idea regarding the patents. Now, divorce is difficult, but I think it would be dynamite if Melinda Gates came out and said, I divorced Bill because he wouldn't give the patents to India and let people die.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
That would be fantastic. Ah, I love it. Regarding the vaccinations in India, I have a 45-second clip, again, from the producer of The Doctors, Dell. And listen, and I've seen these graphs, but, you know, people send me stuff all the time. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if it's official India numbers. So this could be totally off base and really crackpotty, but I want to play it.
There's great science now coming from Geert Vandenbosch, who was the head of Gavi's Ebola vaccine program and worked for Bill and Melinda Gates. This guy knows this, what's going on. And he's telling us that those vaccinated people, they're carrying the deadly variants. They're actually making the deadly variants, that the vaccine is pressuring the virus to become more deadly. That means the vaccinated are actually putting the rest of the planet at risk right now. So there may be a future where we'd like to know who they are. And when they start dying from the issues we saw in the animal trials, it'd be nice for them to die with a badge on so they're not able to say that it's happening to everybody. You're not going to see the unvaccinated dying in the future. I think you're going to see the vaccinated dying for what we saw in their animal trials.
So if you look at the charts from India, the quote unquote cases go hockey stick the minute the vaccinations start. Now, I don't know if that's a true representation, but that's what I've been shown.
And that clip is the most crackpot thing you've played for.
Well, I did set it up.
Borderline second half of show. I like it. It's very funny. I mean, it wouldn't. It doesn't surprise. If I had that clip, I'd play it too.
Of course you would. Because we're entertainers first, damn it. Doctor second.
That is a great clip. You're all going to die, you idiots.
It's just, pharma is just so phenomenal, man. It's fantastic. You know, Sir Adam of the Coke Empire, he always lets me know what the Coke brothers are doing. So the Coke brothers, so first of all, they have a huge lumber company?
I don't know. There's a conglomerate. It's a conglomerate. They have everything.
Yeah, so they've got huge lumber.
I don't know this.
Well, he says so I'm gonna believe it.
Okay, whatever he says is fine.
Of course, toilet paper. Yeah, you know, we know they had us by the balls with the toilet paper and did pretty well after the initial lockdown. But this company called Molex, M-O-L-E-X, which they acquired, I think, 5 or 6 years ago for $7 billion. These guys, they're serious. They have a whole product line, digital tech in an era of drug delivery. And they're talking about you being at home, basically wired up to electrodes and injectable tubes. And you have an app, and the app interfaces with all the junk they've connected to you, and they'll make sure that that you take your medication on time. They'll monitor everything, and they're rolling this out. This is huge what they're doing. This is the next step to telemedicine. Hey, you got a phone with Bluetooth? I'm gonna send you a box.
And well,
it's
just sick.
Yeah. So there's pharma guys, man. So while all this is going on, well, we're worried about having passports to get around town or get from one state to the other, perhaps. Manitoba, Canada, What is going on?
In Manitoba, the province is bringing in a three-week lockdown to help slow down its third wave of COVID-19. The new restrictions come into effect as of tonight, just after midnight. Natalie Collada is tracking that story for us. So, Natalie, what do we know so far about these new public health measures?
Well, Natasha, we know that life for Manitobans will be a little bit different for the next 3 weeks as these measures come into place. They include restricting retail space to just 10% capacity, prohibiting indoor dining for bars and restaurants, as well as prohibiting indoor religious services. These are just some of the restrictions that are underway in Manitoba as of midnight tonight as they try and grapple with the caseloads that they have been seeing. Also closed gyms, museums, public libraries. Officials in Manitoba are saying they really are urging people there in the province to limit contact with those outside their household. On Friday, we saw 502 new cases in Manitoba, one new death. There was also no change in the new measures, important to note, for classrooms in Manitoba. Officials did say that they are actively looking, though, at shutting down schools, but as of right now, that is not happening. As you can imagine, some health experts, some ICU doctors are concerned that these restrictions aren't far enough. They say they saw this all coming. Here's what one had to say. Take a look.
This whole thing could have been substantially avoided. We could we could be past our peak,
really,
and enjoying summer if we had implemented these very restrictions 4 weeks ago.
Let the shaming begin, Manitoba.
One new death.
It's insane. This is the spell is so strong. I don't know. Sage will not help on this one. This is. Now, we know the Canadians, they're even bigger pussies than we are. So they'll just, but they are better complainers. So maybe something, but
oh, they're definitely better complainers, but it's hard to complain when you're stuck in your house.
Whatever happened to HIPAA, by the way? Is that not just completely off the table? The HIPAA regulations of, you know, your privacy, your health records, that you don't have to share.
I'm wondering
them.
About that myself because I was thinking about that the other day. When somebody called me about some medicine I'm taking from some other pharmacy saying we can get you a better deal. How do you know I'm taking this?
Ooh, that's interesting. So that someone sold it to you? Sold your name?
I don't know. I have no idea.
One of our producers he's in Massachusetts, and he went to his local police station to schedule fingerprinting to renew his license to carry. When he arrived, he says, the sergeant and other officer began asking me a series of questions. In the past 14 days, have you had any symptoms related to COVID-19? In the past, have you had any exposure to anyone who has had COVID-19? Have you been vaccinated? I paused, I answered, and then I asked, are you allowed to ask that question? A heated argument came after that, and he told me to leave the station and reschedule. Why does it make any difference? So if you're not vaccinated, you can't have a handgun, you can't have a concealed carry license, and what is it? And why does he have the right to ask that all of a sudden? I agree, it's outrageous.
It's outrageous. Where was this again?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
It doesn't even matter where it is. You can't, it's bull crap. You can't be doing that stuff. That's stupid.
Well, it does matter where it is because I don't believe everybody's doing that.
Oh, okay. Well, in that regard, yes. Oof. I think that's the most of what I have. Let me see. We already knew that the CDC PCR cycle threshold has been lowered, right? We know that it's down to below 28. Of course, we get less cases because the vaccine is working. Oh, yeah. Some other nice marketing from Pfizer. They're donating vaccines to the Tokyo Olympic athletes. And that's nice, you know, because they won't really sell it to Japan, apparently, but they give it to the athletes. Little virtue signal there. And I think Chicago is still on track. This is a story that is back. we heard about it probably a couple of years ago. Actually, Chicago is reporting on this. This is about using humans as compost. I think this is timely. Oregon passed in their House 44-3 a bill to allow for human beings to be used as compost. New York, there's a bill that may come through in the next couple of weeks. I mean, this makes sense. We know the morgues can't handle it. So when the vaccine, you know, when it kills the 30% that it has to, it'll be much easier. And, you know, that'll be green. You know, Green New Deal. It's all good. And just use your dead grandma as compost.
Yeah, it might be better than cremating her, because if you cremate, you know, get some stuff in the atmosphere, God knows what can happen.
Carbon emissions, exactly. Can't have that.
Compost. Human compost.
Yes.
Okay, so we're really sketching to get to the bottom of the barrel here.
Yeah.
I think it's time to change the subject.
Yes, I think it is, because, again, it's all just marketing. Science has left the building.
Now, I want to play this is just a one shot. This is not something I'm going to continue with. It's not a long discussion. It's just one news story.
Okay.
And I want you to listen to it with an empty mind, with a blank mind.
That's so easy for me.
And tell me, because you might know the truth about this story. Mm. But if you just listen to this report from NPR, the National Treasure, you might get the wrong impression, it seems to me. And this is about the pipeline attack.
Down one of the large petroleum product pipelines in the country. As NPR's Marisa Peñalosa reports, it's the latest in a string of attacks on the country's critical infrastructure.
In a written statement, Colonial Pipeline said that it was the victim of a cybersecurity attack, though the company didn't say who launched the attack or what the motives were. The Georgia-based company carries fuel along the East Coast from Texas to New York. It transports more than 100 million gallons of fuel daily, including gasoline, diesel fuel, home heating oil, jet fuel, and it also supplies fuel to the U.S. military through its pipeline system, according to the company's website. The company said it contacted federal agencies and law enforcement, as well as enlisting a third-party cybersecurity firm to help with the investigation.
Yes, I do have thoughts on this, and I actually have a short updated report as to the nature.
Well, I don't want to hear any of that. I'm going to ask you some questions. When she says at the beginning it's a series of attacks, mm-hmm. but attacking the infrastructure.
That's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. She's referring to...
Okay.
Can I expand?
Yeah, you're not going... You're not playing the game right. I'm sorry. You're supposed to be a blank mind.
I'm sorry. Okay. Hold on a second. I have to reset. What's my motivation? Blank mind?
Blank mind.
Blank mind. Okay, as in a non-playing character, blank mind?
That's okay. But let's go to the second part of this. I don't want to belabor it. The woman who does the reporting with her accent says that they don't know the motivation. Now, that was just too much, because later, you can play the follow-up clips, but later it was reported on the network news and every place else. Everyone knew it was a ransomware attack that shut the thing down. There's an obvious motive with ransomware. It's to get some cheap-ass money, some Bitcoin.
Well,
that was completely left out of this report. There was no mention of ransomware. There was no mention of anything. This was a stupid report. It made it sound like the Russians were trying to shut us down, or maybe the Chinese. It's a random ransomware attack. This happens all the time.
Of course, the updated clip was that it was ransomware, so I don't need to play that. However, there's still no one is pointing towards an actor, and you, I think you're falling for it by saying it's just some douchebags who want some Bitcoin. I think that's the good cover. But let's look at it in the context of this pipeline, which was shut down for quite a while during Hurricane Harvey. And fuel prices rose quite dramatically, I think 45, 50 cents, which, of course, puts stress on the entire economy. This, to me, is just as bogus as the windmills froze and we ran out of gas and the Texas people homes are no good. We know exactly why the power was out for a week, in some cases less, some cases more. This is part of the infrastructure plan. The timing is perfect for Joe Biden's infrastructure plan. We need a new grid and we need to harden up all of our energy assets. I'm calling this, it's probably a real attack, but I'm going to say that that is related. This is to show that, and certainly Texas, you know, Texas, they don't know how to manage this shit. We need to take it away from them. They can't have a grid. They're not responsible. And if it's just a random, it really is a random ransomware attack, how fortunate that they can use this, because that's what's coming next.
I'm not going to argue that, but until you show me proof, I'm going to stick with this just a coincidence. Although coincidence
wow.
is always an issue.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Just a coincidence. I to me, it was. All right. We'll see. We'll see.
But you're right. All the things line up with the anti-Texas thing.
It doesn't really matter. That's my point. It doesn't matter if it's real or not. It will be used for that.
Ransomware situation, I don't see how it can really. If anyone has any professionals that are actually involved in something, especially a big operation like this, you'd think you'd have protections in place.
Well, isn't this just part of, to me, it's just part of the climate emergency. We've got to ratchet it up. Oh, that's what it will be. I'm sorry. That report was clearly not, but it's out there now. They're not even pointing fingers. Why not? Why wouldn't you say China or Russia? The implication that she gave in the beginning of the report was Russia, because the last time a phony news report was, they've hacked into some power plant, they've attacked, and then it turned out to be completely untrue. But that was all about Russia. Why is there no implication of any actor in this?
You're asking the wrong. Yes, yeah. NPR. It's a setup.
Yeah, I think it is.
Now, I do have a series of, I don't know how much you want to listen to this next little segment.
Well, it depends on what you got.
Kara Swisher.
Oh, yes, Swisher. I'm in. What, Kara Swisher, I'm in.
She's interviewing the chief tech person from the CIA.
Oh, okay. They have and is it the actual, is it just CTP?
It's a, no, this is a new podcast that she's been running.
Oh.
And they hire, it's like with a staff of about 20 people on this podcast.
Who's paying for it? Is it New York Times,
I don't know,
or
who's
Vox?
Paying for it?
Okay. All right.
But I have two different tracks on this. And one of them is the one I want to start with. And then the other one, there was actually some good stuff that she did get from this woman, whose name I can't pronounce. Dawn is her first name. Dawn something or other. Mm. She, it's one of those fake second CIA names.
Yeah.
Which most of them
have. It's a handle.
It's a handle. So I have five clips, ooh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, of Kara Swisher, a journalist working for the New York Times, kissing this woman's ass from beginning to end, trying to get a job or an interview so she can become a spook.
Because it's hot. And now we need to know who this woman is, because maybe Kara was turned on to her.
Well,
don't worry, I'll do the research.
I can get her name. It's okay. Mariick or something. She's got some strange last name.
Okay, answer no.
Yes. Well, she's old. She's been in the business. She's like an old spook.
She's a spook plus.
So here we have the introduction to this woman. Her name is in here.
Mariick.
She goes on, and this is her intro. This is Kara, and this is where she drops a little bomb at the beginning, and then I have nothing but follow-ups. But let's start with Kara on joining one.
I'm Kara Swisher, and you're listening to Sway.
Oh, Sway. Yeah, sure.
You know how basically in every spy movie there's a scene where the hero retreats to an underground lair, and the nerdy scientist shows off their latest gadget, like a flute that turns into a rifle or exploding gum?
Now, watch very carefully. An ordinary tin of talcum powder. Inside, a tear gas cartridge. That goes in the case against the...
My guest today is that scientist. Dawn Myricks is the CIA's top technologist. If you watch the Bond movies, she's basically the head of Q Branch. Myricks oversees the CIA's secretive Directorate of Science and Technology, also known as DS&T. Her department makes the disguises and tools every intel officer needs to spy for America's interests. But wigs and fake mustaches can only get you so far these days. Artificial intelligence and facial recognition make it almost impossible for a case officer to move around unnoticed. And practically everyone leaves a digital footprint now. So how is Myricks making sure our spy gear outpaces China's? How is the CIA working with private companies to protect U.S. interests? Mm. And why the heck hasn't the CIA recruited me yet?
Yeah, this is Sway. I haven't heard this episode yet, but I listen to that sometimes. She's very annoying. It's a hate listen.
Now, this is the longest clip, by the way, for people out there who say, oh, it's boring. The second clip is a little more interesting. The second clip, which is half the length, it's not about her wanting to join. It's about probably the reason they'd never recruit her. She's talking to Dawn about something, about some spot the spook issues that interested me. And Dawn talks about how the digital footprint on a lot of spooks, they don't join LinkedIn, they don't do this, they don't do that, and it may lead to becoming a tell that you're a spook.
Ah, if you don't have enough footprint.
Yeah, you have to have the right footprint, and they have not, it seems, because you can't find Dawn on anything. She's not hooked up to anything.
Yeah.
Now, it starts to get interesting when she says this. And it goes right over Kara's head, and Kara just steamrolls her and changes the subject into something different, completely oblivious to what I consider cool information. And the way she does it is like, well, maybe if you listened a little more, you'd get better interviews out of these people. But no, you had an agenda, whatever it was, and thunk, off you go.
One of the things that the organization does, they encourage folks not to have much of a virtual presence. And what that resulted in is a lot of our folks who had been here for a while had no idea how much digital dust was being created, how much of a signature it was not to have a digital persona.
Like if you're not using Facebook or Instagram and things like that.
Particularly in my business, right? It's like, you know, we had these long conversations about, is that actually a tell? If you have no digital footprint, who are you?
Right. That's the Directorate of Digital Innovation. Yours is more like the Q branch.
Oh, my God. Now, I know what it is. She wants to be in the technology division consulting because, you know, she knows exactly how everything works. Ugh. And she's so wrapped up in herself as usual.
Yeah, she's totally wrapped up in herself. And she's, by the way, is not a technologist by any means. She's always been a writer but with very little. The skill set is next to nothing.
You should hear.
Let's go.
You should listen to her explain Bitcoin. It's hilarious.
Let's go. Now I'm just going to play three more. This is the rest of her begging for a job. Here's number three.
Yeah. So if you want somebody to, you know, disappear from a car but not have it evident, then you better have a pretty good replacement.
Oh. Why would you want that? I'm sorry. I should have gone into this business. But you have a puppet in a car. Oh, I see. Like a dummy.
She's fishing for
like
compliments.
Like a dummy. Hello, dummy.
She's fishing for compliments. Like,
okay. Kara on joining four.
You have a new CIA director, Bill Burns, took over from Gina Haspel, who I think was doing God's work at some point. in terms of talking about technical forms of collection are vital and good human sources. And it was exciting to see a woman run the CIA, also you running it.
Well, thanks. There's actually five of us that are deputy directors.
So it could have been me.
Could have been.
Oh.
I would have been the sneaky one who was doing the bad thing.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. This is so sickening. And where is Gina Haspel? I'm telling you, she got killed at that Frankfurt raid.
I don't know what happened.
We didn't see her since that.
Now, by the way, this is the last one I caught. This is the end of the show where she's literally begging for a job. There is another one within this clippage that I didn't catch. I mean, I didn't cut it, but she does this at least five times. Let's go with number, the last one to finish.
I will say that our whole job is to make people believe that there is an invisibility cloak.
Is there?
No, it's hard work. It's hard technology.
Don't say no. Say, oh, well.
I'm so sorry. I'm not in the CIA, I have to say.
Come over. Really. Maybe we can recruit you.
Maybe I am one.
That's right. How do you know?
That would be the longest con in history for Kara Swisher, right in the middle of everything.
Done. We'll sign you up.
All right.
Did she say maybe we'll recruit you?
This is a journalist.
You? Yeah. Yeah. Not really, I guess.
But no, not really. Begging to be in the CIA and to still work at the New York Times. How does the New York Times tolerate this?
Well, no, she's just trying to do reverse osmosis. Usually the CIA, the person works at the CIA, then goes to work for the New York Times. And now she's just trying to reverse the process and is a little befuddled.
Actually, the woman discusses this back and forth mechanism, which is more likely. And now we're off of Kara and her hangups.
All right. All right.
Now, this is Don hiring and keeping. This is an interesting. These are now interesting clips for the audience.
How do you compete for the best and the brightest when you know talent can easily go to Silicon Valley or Hollywood or any of these places where it's significantly more lucrative?
Yeah. So I think the current generations are much more service oriented. So if I can bring them in, get them kind of caught on our mission, and they go out and make money, I'll take them back, right? And so you can do a balance, and it's not, you don't have to make a choice. You're not deciding I'm going to do this forever. When you join us and we get the benefit of the latest skills and the excitement, and we hold on to most of the people that we bring in. Do we lose our creatives? Absolutely we do. But every high-tech company loses their creatives at some point.
Oh my goodness. They're just sending them into the field legit.
Yeah, just heard it.
Oh, and then go ahead, go make some real money, and you can come back in. It's not a problem. You're
all whatever you want.
Always
we'll be
welcome.
Here.
Always welcome in the family. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Wow, that's good. Do you have more?
So that's going on as we speak. Yeah, this is interesting too. This is on a little discussion for people out there who are unfamiliar with InQtel.
Oh goodness!
And how it fits into the scheme of things.
The same tradecraft as our Opto in terms of operating clandestinely. When you can actually take your idea to the field and see that it's working, that's why most of us are here.
DS&T, what is it working on today? I know a lot of it's classified and what you can't discuss.
Classified.
So can you give, you know, the technologies you have your eye on right now?
Yeah, so we actually have an unclassified problem set that we put out there because InQtel is one of the organizations that we work very closely with.
InQtel, explain who that is.
InQtel is sort of
a VC,
you know, a venture capitalist early, you know, sort angel of. Through round A kinds of investments where they scan the horizon for us for things that are not just good science or technology, but things that are about to emerge into a market so that we can leverage that and so that we can team with them to, in some cases, expand a problem set that doesn't take them off their market, but makes them more applicable to other parts of a market, for example.
It's essentially the venture capitalist for the CIA is what it is.
Yeah.
And there's been others as a Defense Department one.
Right. And we work with IARPA. We do a lot of work with DARPA. So, and we do a lot of work with industry, frankly.
Oh my goodness. Shall we just run down the list of a couple of InQtel companies?
May as well. You got it.
The most important one would be Keyhole Inc. That was the, I think, one of the first acquisitions Google made. And that's really what gave them all of this location and tracking data. But just going down the list, we have Palantir, of course, a very famous one. We have, where's all the other famous ones? I thought there were more famous ones. They got about 100 on their webpage. Inktomi, which is networking. Does Inktomi still around? Do they still do
that? No, Inktomi was bought and sold.
That's done. Done for. IntelliSeq. Oh, these were all the old search engines. FireEye.
Yeah,
oh,
FireEye. They're in the searches.
FireEye. There's a good one. FireEye. You know, one of those CrowdStrike-like companies.
You know, at the end of that little spiel that she said we work with InQtel. And then she said, Swisher mentioned the Defense Department. She says, yeah, we work with IARPA and
yes.
DARPA.
What is IARPA?
Did you hear this?
Yes.
The first one?
Is that the intelligence?
That's what she said. IARPA.
Yes. So you have DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, and IARPA is the Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Agency.
I've never heard of them before.
I've heard. I want to say that that they, I mean, you had a clip where
they must be working out of that that little spook operation that the Defense Department has.
I don't know. I think IARPA is like legit and big, and it's a part of the Defense Department. So, but it's just, I think it's
okay. Well, let's get back to these clips and get them out of the way.
Well, don't ask me questions then.
Yeah. Hey, Frank, when you come by the table, say hi to me.
Okay.
Make sure to impress the lady. You know that joke?
No, I don't.
Okay. Guy says to Frank Sinatra, he's a pal. He said, Frank, you know, I've got this lady I'm trying to impress her. Can you come by the table and say hi to me so you'll impress the hell out of her? And says, you want me to do that? Okay, sure. So they're having dinner. Sinatra comes by and he says, hey, Billy, how you doing? He says, hey, come on. I'm busy here. Okay. Now, Kara Swisher, this is interesting, too, because this, I didn't know the architecture. I think she's given away some of the store here. I don't think she should have been on the show.
Oh.
But this is the Amazon. You know, they work with Amazon, but I didn't even have any idea how it was structured. Now we know.
Common knowledge that, you know, we have a very longstanding relationship with Amazon for cloud services.
Yes. From what I understand, someone in the who probably shouldn't have said so told me you have a separate cloud service.
We host it. It's hosted in our facility, but it's exactly the same service, right? And this is where we have a great relationship with the company, because if we see, for example, something that's a threat, then what we feed that back, or they discover it more likely because they actually operate it. And then that raises the water level for everybody who's got their cloud services. You know, there's nothing spooky about it.
But your cloud service is protected in a certain area, and that lets your agents use apps, right? Because you couldn't just suddenly install Instagram on CIA's phones.
Well, that's there's still a process to bring things into our infrastructure, right? But I'll say that Amazon is a part of that process because they are responsible for the security services that they offer in the cloud services that we run on. And this is where I think it's this great symbiotic relationship, because we have really good intelligence with respect to the kinds of threats that we should be aware of. And that feeds right back into their commercial service, because we want to run the same commercial baseline as they do.
So they have a clone.
Interesting.
Now, yeah, that's what I thought. They have their own servers, but it's modeled after the Amazon service and run by Amazon people.
Well, here's the question: Is it just a clone of the technology, and so they can spin up EC2 and do their, you know, do S3 buckets? Or is it an actual clone of everything on Amazon, and they can see what everyone's changing and doing? I mean, is it like
I'm guessing the former,
like a GitHub repository of all of Amazon? By the way,
yeah, that would be nice, but I think the NSA would be more interested in that.
I knew where I heard IARPA from. This was the story from the new proposal by the Biden administration to create a an agency that would be, or to be hiring outside companies like i.e. Facebook, Twitter, etc., to do spying on people and then report to the government. And IARPA is the interface to that. So it's a research project, but they're working on it through IARPA into, well, there you go, into Amazon even, I guess. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
This shit's great.
Sounds fabulous. Okay, I guess two quickies. This one here, I'm just playing it because I realize, well, of course, they have a huge staff that produces this podcast. Editors and all kinds of people.
They got a credit producers. Roll? They got a credit roll at the end?
No, it's on the web, it's on the on the on the website.
Okay.
I didn't notice a credit roll, which is lame. Now, this was an obvious edit. There's an edit that was taken up because Kara was going to ask, was going to string out some names. And I think they went back. I think the CIA approved this, which I think is against the rules at the New York Times, but they did it anyway because apparently they run the New York Times. I said apparently. But they edited this, and I think it's rather clear that they edited it. And see if you can spot the edit.
So let's talk about how the CIA and DST then in particular works with the private sector. How does the CIA work with private companies to develop spying tools? Do they do that too? Let me just say, these companies that you're working with, Lockheed.
Well, that, it was there. It was, I guess it was there already.
Yeah, no, it, well, it might have been
might
there
have been too. There too. Okay.
But they cut, the whole thing is cut up, chopped double up. But there's, the edit I'm talking about is coming up, so you have to start over.
All right, I'm sorry.
So let's talk about how the CIA and DST then in particular works with the private sector. How does the CIA work with private companies to develop spying tools? Do they do that too? Let me just say, these companies that you're working with, Lockheed Martin.
So there are companies that are more than happy to do business with us, kind of straight stick, you know, you write a contract, we will deliver things.
Yeah, I think it's two edits. Of course, after Lockheed, they clearly cut it there. But I think she may have mentioned a few before then. It's a double edit. Listen,
let me just say, these companies that you're working with, Lockheed Martin.
Wait,
so
wait, back here.
Let me just say, spying tool. Do they do that too? Let me just say, these companies that you're working with, Lockheed Martin.
I think this in that the minute you throw in there,
she's rude. Yes.
That's where it was. And then after Lockheed Martin,
these companies that you're
the
working
way she
with,
introduced Lockheed Martin. It was going to be a series of,
yes,
of companies.
Totally.
With Lockheed Martin. So there are companies that are.
At least they left a little pause in there. They tried, but you can't get it past the courage of war.
The problem was it was her. Yeah, but it was her intonation. You don't end like that.
No.
You know, it would be Lockheed Martin and Bob and blah, blah, blah. And no, they just cut it right there.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of companies' names that were mentioned.
Well, can I just say, wasn't she married to the top Google lady?
Well, okay. That takes us right to the last clip.
Because that's the person who might have told her, someone who shouldn't have told her about Amazon or whatever. That kind of level person would know.
She mentions she has to drop her name without mentioning her name in this next clip. And this is the last clip for people out there.
I'm sorry.
This is the Google clip. She decides to bring Google in for some reason. And this is interesting the way Dawn dances around this one.
Do you work with Google?
I'm not aware that we have. I think that we're in the middle of a procurement, I'll say, for additional cloud services, which I really can't talk about because of procurement regs. So I don't know that we have any sort of contractual relationship with Google right now.
So just, the reason I'm asking is Google bought CIA-funded satellite imaging software. Actually, my ex-wife did it. That eventually became Google Earth. It's a little like what happens with DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. The government pilot certain technologies in the private sector can tinker with them and make billions of dollars. How do you guys look at that? Like with the internet, with everything else, with all these things, is that you pilot technologies and then don't benefit?
Yeah, so that's one of the reasons we put together CIA Labs, because we really are creative. Touchscreen technology, we did some early work in that, as you might imagine. So there's a lot of patentable ideas that come out of the brainstorming that we do. And I wanted our employees to be able to get some recognition for that. So we can bring this new idea. The company wasn't thinking about that particular application. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, we could easily add a couple of features and service that market as well.
Yeah. Hmm.
All right. They shouldn't be doing these things.
I have a question. I have a feeling, and typically this shit doesn't bother me, doesn't matter to me, but we saw it happening at the Department of Homeland Security. I believe there's a takeover of LGBTQ women at the CIA. And I believe Dawn Marriott may be part of a group that's apparently there's five women running the show now.
A cabal.
And the way Kara is dropping Megan Smith's name. And immediately that was like, why? If someone says, oh, you know, actually, I got this from my ex-wife. You know, is she laughing because, oh, my God, I'm so nervous that Kara's gay, or she knows Megan very well, or they're all in on the thing?
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a distinct possibility.
Hmm. I'll have to see if there's any LGBTQ conferences where Dawn has spoken. It's possible. And
it's very possible.
Yeah, you know, and that's I don't know if that matters. I mean, the CIA used to be Catholics in Action. You know, it was just a different group. But I think you need to be able to identify the group that's doing this. And man, maybe that's why.
Especially when they tend to be Democrat socialists.
Mm-hmm.
the female, the lesbian community in general. I mean, they're the ones who put on the, as soon as Trump got inaugurated, they set up shop and did the big protest and bought the pussy hats and the whole thing.
My goodness.
So it's a subversive.
Yes, well, we have black lesbian women running Black Lives Matter and white lesbian women.
Exactly. That's true.
Yes. Well,
now you've changed the tone of the show.
Why? I haven't changed anything. It just got better. Please don't use this as artwork, artist. It's not going to work.
You were going nowhere with that art. Stop already.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage and say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the CIA cabal, ladies and gentlemen, John C. Dvorak.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. Also in the morning, ships and sea, boots on the ground, feet in the air, substance in the water, and all the dames and knights out there.
In the morning to the trolls in the troll room. Hello, trolls. How you doing? Hands up, hands up, hands up. Let me count y'all. Ooh, 2062. That's what we're talking about. That's what we like to see. These trolls, also known as producers, you could call them people who are listening and producing at the same time. You can find them at noagendastream.com on show days, Thursdays and Sundays, as we do that at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Of course, this is the place where you can listen to a lot of live shows. And it's also a chat room. It's a combo. So it's a troll room. There's always something playing on the player. No Agenda Stream, and you can listen to that independently, but it's kind of fun to sit there and talk about what's being discussed and troll around, and you might even hear people talking about noagendasocial.com. This is, without a doubt, hands down, the best signal-to-noise ratio social network you can ever find. It is at noagendasocial.com. Registration still open for a little bit longer. We're letting people come in. You'll see that the information that is there, particularly because it's federated, which means when someone either has a conversation or follows someone from another server, could be all across anywhere in the world, then we'll start to get some of that flowing through into our timeline. And there's a boost, which like retweets. And lo and behold, you have a social network that is great because you come there and then you check it a couple times a day and you just scroll down until the message you've already seen. And that's it. Nothing pops back up to the top. No algos trying to make you angry. And it's all part of the service here of Gitmo Nation, and of course, at Aaroner, who keeps it running. We really appreciate that. And in the morning to the artist for episode number 1345, Jabs for Jesus was the title. It was hard to find a piece of art, actually. I don't think we were blown away by anything in particular.
There's a couple pieces I liked. Let me first say
that Correct the Record took home the trophy with the woke on the forehead, which was simplistic. It was well done. The way woke was so technically we thought it had merit.
I remember the story a little better because you like their other woke initially. The woke that was done by Arnett.
Yes. I said it looked kind of nerdy. Yes.
And I didn't like it at all because I thought it looked crappy. No offense to Net. I thought it just was poorly executed. And I kind of liked, I was either liking the, I liked the goat. I liked the who gets the dog. I liked, these are, the goat was,
no, the one Darren you liked O'Neil. Was UFO or cruise ship.
Yes, the one you're right. Parker Pauly did UFO or cruise ship, and that's the one I liked.
Yeah, it just didn't work for me.
No, and you hated it. And so, but
can you stop saying I hate things? I don't hate dogs. I don't hate art. I don't hate art. I didn't hate it. I never said I hated it.
So you just said you hated it right there. But that's okay. You disliked it. Now, and so then there was the alt woke, which is the one that we picked, which was later in the list. I don't even see it on here. Where is it? Did it go away?
No, it's the alt woke. Oh, I don't know where
the
that
one we
one
picked.
Is. Huh. No, it's down there on the left. It's on the left hand side.
Oh.
Underneath okay, well, we also looked at UFO Vision, which was the Eurovision. And by the way, you're seeing all of these flip around in your podcasting 2.0 compatible player. Even on Android car Android, I think, if you use
oh, there it is.
Podcast Addict. new podcastapps.com, Podcast Addict now featuring the chapters.
So I saw the second woke, which was a good version of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And it came in earlier, so I don't know why the second one was even submitted. And I said, you know, this, I could live with this. And so you chose that.
It was well done.
Yeah, it hit the spot.
Now,
speaking
of hate, and of, I'm just going to take 45 seconds of your time. Speaking of hate and chapters, you know, these images that we've been highlighting on our podcast for a couple times, part of Podcasting 2.0, which is the initiative to take the power back from Apple and Spotify, if they ever even had it. I just have to share this clip because it's really about hate, but it's also about Podcasting 2.0. And it's an opinion from someone we both know.
Fenwick, our friend and longtime show partner from Sacramento, says, what are your thoughts on Podcasting 2.0 platform, the one that Podfather is developing?
People keep asking me about that. It's a joke. I don't understand. So people are confusing what he's doing with some other things that are happening. Somebody, I think it was Chris, said, well, I like the chapter markers. That's not Podcasting 2.0. Adam Curry's a nut job. He's a conspiracy buff. He wants to make the whole point of this is a podcast directory that Alex Jones and InfoWars can be in. Mm-hmm. He believes that Apple and others are censoring the podcast directories. Yes, they are. They're keeping people like Alex Jones out of it. And so he wants to create an open podcast directory for everybody. A, he's solving a problem that doesn't exist. Who uses podcast directories? Explain that to me. You know, he wants podcast clients, you know, some like Pocket Casts, many of them have a Discover tab and stuff. He wants them all to use the same directory, his directory, so that you could discover InfoWars. Sorry, no interest. It's a political thing. It has nothing to do with podcasting. It has more to do with Adam Curry and trying to stay relevant and his crazy conspiracy theorist views.
Next question.
What? Where was that? A.
Uh huh. It was his buddy Alex. He has a show which is
Just Alex Lindsay.
Yes, Alex Lindsay's office or something, and then so they get a.
It's on Leo's network.
I think so, and then you get a whole crowd of people on Zoom, and they can ask questions of the guest.
Oh, brother! Now, there I said it.
Yeah, now yeah, you did.
So. The maven for Netcast,
yes, that maven
is bitching about podcasts. Okay, well, whatever.
Yeah. Well,
that was pretty wild.
Yes,
I'm assuming somebody sent that to you because you're never going to listen to that on your own.
No, of course. In fact, I was just hoping you hadn't seen it on No Agenda Social. I'm like, I wasn't going to answer there. Like, I don't want John to see this. I want you to hear it fresh. It's just,
yeah, well, yeah, I heard it fresh. I did not see it on No Agenda Social.
I'm a head shaker, man. Well, of course, everything I do is just to keep myself relevant.
You're a nutball trying to keep yourself relevant. You conspiracy theorist.
That's right. Political. It's all political. Alex Jones. I'm still trying to onboard Alex Jones. Anyway.
So Alex Jones, he's off the deep end of these. It's got nothing to do with Alex Jones.
No. No, but, you know, it's not a phone, so I don't expect the tech guy to know anything about what we're doing.
If it didn't involve unboxing, then it's
useless. That's right. I got to unbox the index. That'll be better. As part of our value for value model, which we enjoy so much and is truly the reason why we don't go off the rails and talk like idiots, is because we're not worried. Well, we're worried about making rent, but we're not worried about meetings, about saying the wrong thing, because there's just nothing that we can't say that will get us in trouble, except with the producers who will let us know. And they let us know in a number of ways by contributing their time, their talent, their treasure. And we love to thank our executive producers and associate executive producers for their contributions right off the bat. And we kick it off with, do we have a note on this anonymous?
Oh,
let me see.
Oh,
the first donation from Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah, page one. Sorry, I actually missed that one. Yes, anonymous came in at $1,498.50.
Wow.
And I have the note.
Okay, cool.
In fact,
there
to
it
prove
is.
I have it. There it makes is. Noise.
There's the note.
And the note's quite funny because it's got this note has got it's like a thought bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Only it's like a talk bubble from a cartoon, and it's Joe Biden.
So Joe Biden, that's his memo, his memo paper.
Somebody's yes, guys, glued on one. Joe Biden's head.
That's a good idea. It's a good.
John Adam, longtime douchebag and first time donator. I discovered in 2016 when Adam was a guest on InfoWars.
Ooh, yeah.
Speak of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, I think it was your last, or probably one of your last time. You were only on there twice, I think. I think my first episode was 890, and with 1340 recently completed, that's 450 episodes that I've been a douchebag.
Oh, noes.
With $3.33 for each episode, please find a check enclosed for $1,498.50.
Wow.
If I found you via Alex Jones, you know I'm going to be paranoid, so leave me anonymous. Thanks, which is a good point.
Yes, that's a
thanks
good,
for
good
all
policy.
You do. And then he has a little joke on here. Apparently, he does have his name that he gave to us to Google. He says, "Googling my name is always fun, and no, we're not related." So I guess there's somebody that's a little freaky out there.
He didn't want any jingles, but I feel I should deduce him and at least give him a little.
Yes,
a
yes, little please. There.
You've been deduced.
My God, for 25 years.
You've got karma.
They've been growing babies and cows.
There we go. Woo. Taurus. Taurus Rimkus. Taurus Rimkus.
Taurus.
$1,500 from Boise, Idaho. No jingles, just some goat karma. In the morning, gentlemen, please deduce me.
You've been deduced.
I started listening after Adam's first appearance on the Joe Rogan Show and have been hooked ever since. As someone part of your Gen Z, your insights have kept me sane and rational in a world of M5M talking points. Yes, you're one of the survivors. Please note, knight me, Sir Toadeye, and may I request filet mignon done medium rare and Dr. Pepper at the round table. Now, that is a breakfast of champions. Absolutely. Also, please, I've been to the birthday list. I'll be turning 20 on the 12th. Uh-huh. John, there is hope.
There's hope. Plenty of hope.
I love this. Absolutely.
The millennials like us, too, for some reason.
Well, because, you know, we're not full of shit.
You thought.
So that might be part of it.
It can't hurt.
Curry's a nut ball.
I got to ISO that. You're right. I should have done
that. Yes, you
already.
Definitely had to
I
ISO
I should have
that.
ISO'd it already.
Yeah. Randy, I'm sorry, Timothy Lipton comes in with $963.69. And wow. I looked and looked. I found his original. I know his real email address. Couldn't find anything from him. If he has something to tell us, he will. Otherwise, it's no jingles, no karma. And thank you, Timothy. Now, Randy Vizantine in Houston, Texas, $8.50. This is my second Mother's Day donation before the Sunday show. I'm watching Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live now. Oh, I missed that. I'm going to think, check it later.
I saw some of it.
I expect a full report tomorrow. Well, no.
Why, now, stop. Why do people think that we're going to stay up late for us on a show night to watch Elon Musk to bring a report?
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking.
I can give a short report, very simple, because I saw the opening. The thing that he did that was super smart, and I think he stole it from me, from the Joe Rogan Show, right off the bat, like I said, hey, I got Tourette's, so all this weird shit you're seeing with me, don't be distracted, that's me. And he started right off the bat, first time anyone's ever hosted SNL with Asperger's. And you look at the guy, I mean, he's kind of like, he's in between me and Michael J. Fox with his head and body movements. So it's smooth, you know, it's kind of like rhythmic, but it's definitely swaying around like crazy. And that made him adorable in a way.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I expect a full report tomorrow, LOL.
There it is.
We got your full report. The full report, you just heard it. This donation should put me into a knighting. I would like to be deemed Sir Randy of Drummingham. Additional relationship karma is welcome. John and Adam, you both rock. I've been a huge fan of John from the early days of ZDTV donation, and Twit. And Adam, of course, from Headbangers Ball, Headbangers Ball donation. You two have created such an interesting adventure together. Good job.
Okay. I have this one here. This is from, wait, don't we need a relationship karma? Yeah, let's get that karma out.
You've got karma.
This is from Chuck Douglas in Mesa, Arizona, 50291. Mother's Day donation, obviously. Jingle preload, Biden full load, whole load to the head. And would you look at that juice? Okay, we've got those lined up. Happy Mother's Day to your keepers. Yes, indeed. Happy Mother's Day to Mimi. Happy Mother's Day to Tina. Yeah, happy Mother's Day to Patricia. And she still gave me a beautiful daughter. And happy Mother's Day to all mothers. Been derelict in my duties to help produce this show, so here's my Mother's Day donation of 50921. A de-douching, please.
You've been de-douched.
Donation is dedication to the wonderful what mothers in my life. My keeper and smoking hot mom to our 5 outstanding human resources. My mother of 12 human resources. Hello, Mom. My mother-in-law of 9 human resources. My second oldest human resource, mother to 2 grand human resources, and my daughter-in-law, mother to 1 grand human resource. Grateful for these wonderful ladies in my life. And this donation puts me over the top for a knighting. Please knight me, sir, ones and zeros of the East Valley of the Sun, and order up some Mountain Dew and meatloaf for the round table. Oh, it's going to be great. We've got, we have, what kind of beef did he want? We got Dr.
Filet
Pepper.
Filet mignon, medium rare.
So you got filet mignon and Dr. Pepper. And here we have Mountain Dew and meatloaf. Excellent. Keep up the great work. Thanks for the constant amygdala therapy. Jingles and some, oh, yeah, I also wanted some R2-D2 karma, which would have been cool if you put that at the top. And away we go.
I'm going to give you the whole load today.
Oh, my gosh. Can you see that juice?
Story.
You've got
total story.
Karma.
Onward with Dotarted. It's Dotarted. Rhymes with retarded.
There you
Anonymous.
Go.
Part of the country or wherever he's from. USA somewhere. Hi, John and Adam. In the morning, and thank you for the island of sanity in the sea of uncertainty that we're living in. Now that California is opening back up, please send my wife and I some karma. We are ready to going.
Yeah, jobs karma.
We are ready to going. To my wife on Mother's Day, dearest beauty bubble. Since the day we met, she talks in code. Since the day we met so many years ago, your love sliced through my heart like a knife through hot butter. You will always be the sharpest and hottest knife in the kitchen. Thank you even more for all the love you care and care you have given to me, the Cubs, and Rocket, the Wonder Cat, over the last year of insanity. With love, Teddy.
Aww.
Or dotarted at noagendasocial.com.
So cute.
Cute.
Jobs karma.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You got karma.
Then we move on to 33333, Sir Kevin Dills, Earl of North Carolina in Huntersville, North Carolina. And he wants some interesting combo. Mango, Manning Bingo Boom Shakalaka original, Little Girl Boom Shakalaka, and then Manning Bingo Boom Shakalaka remix, and then a Little Girl Yay. Yeah, getting pretty close to the limit there. All right. In the morning, somehow another year has flown by, and it's time for another birthday executive producership. I'll be turning 35 on May 12th, so please add me to the birthday list and send lots of birthday karma. Also, please send some relationship karma. Maybe this is the year that I meet the no agenda dame of my dreams. Hey, North Carolina, not so far from South Carolina, just saying. Who knows, but some no agenda karma can hurt. Lots of love to both of you and everyone in the no agenda family. Life would not be the same without you. Sir Kevin Dills, Earl of North Carolina.
Bingo, boom, shakalaka.
Boom, shakalaka. Boom, shakalaka.
Bingo, boom, boom, shakalaka. Boom, 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 shakalaka. Boom, boom.
Yay!
You've got karma.
These are the 333.33 special executive producers for this today's special Mother's Day show. Sir Wire of the Hidden Jewel from Escondido, California, also is 33333. Please wish Happy Mother's Day to Jasmine, Dame Jasmine of the Hidden Jewel, my smoking hot wife and great mom to our three kids, EJ, Serafina, our oldest Natalie, mother of three boys, my awesome mom, Leslie, four kids, and the amazing matriarch of our family, our matriarchs, plural of our family, Nana Pyers and Nani Tavares. Happy Mama's Day to all the mothers out there. We would not be here without you, literally. Thank you for your courage. No jingles. One karma for all mothers. Sir Wire of the Hidden Jewel.
You've got karma.
You notice that female no agenda producers produce a lot of human resources? Is it just me? These seem like some higher numbers than the average.
Smart people.
Another special Mother's Day producership, 33333 from Toronto, Ontario, Daria Rakitin, who we know, of course. Thanks to No Agenda, I'm much less stressed and brainwashed than I could have been without it nowadays. This is what we like to hear. This is our real reward. Quick report on COVID vaccines for pregnant women in Scandinavia. They are now being promoted left and right here. I am currently 34 weeks pregnant with a third human resource. Earlier this week, I went to my OB for a checkup. He asked me if I received the vaccine or if I'd like one. I answered no to both. He looked up at me with a puzzled look and asked, why do I not want it since I'm considered a high-risk group? I replied that because we don't know yet how babies will react to the vaccine. To which he replied firmly and slightly pushy, we do know how babies react to the vaccine. Side effects of the vaccine are minimal, but if you get sick with COVID during these last 5 to 6 weeks, that would be really bad. You are in a high-risk group, so I can't get you an appointment at the hospital very quickly. Do you want to do it? I said no. His reply was a disappointed, okay. It's no bonus. A couple days later, I was talking to my friend who was also pregnant. She asked me if I received the brochure that OBs and midwives are mandated to distribute among their patients, and she forwarded it to me. If you're interested in glancing through the brochure, I'm attaching it to the email. But to summarize, we know nothing about it. The trials did not include pregnant or breastfeeding people. Side effects are unknown. We have no data, but experts believe that it's likely safe for unborn and breastfed babies. So it's your choice. In addition to all that, women have to get... Do you think that fucking doc... I'm sorry, that doctor was incentivized to sell a shot? Is that...
Well,
is
that's what... When I got this note, I sent her a note about
that's
that.
That's like the Gardasil technique.
I'm thinking the doctor was incentivized and he'd get like $10 or... some pittance, or maybe even up to 100, to get some people to take the shot.
Would you an extra day in the timeshare, the Pfizer timeshare?
I would, yeah. I would like to, if this is true, because it was true with the Gardasil.
Yeah,
it's a scandal to me.
I continue.
This is not doctor's advice, by the way. This is
somebody else's.
No,
this is financial.
I'm saying if a doctor's telling you to take the vaccine and it's insincere advice. It's a lousy doctor. Go on, sorry.
In addition to all that, women have to give birth now wearing hospital-approved face masks, even if they are symptom-free and everyone around them will almost be wearing space suits, face shields, etc. Oh, my God. I'm only shaking my head here. Sorry for the long note. Keep up the amazing work of keeping us sane, love and light. Daria, no jingles, but could I please get childbirthing karma for me and an F cancer for my amazing mother-in-law who has been battling it since last fall? Yes, Daria, and thank you very much. Very, very, very good note.
You've got karma.
Just so there's no confusion, little baby delivery karma.
You've got karma.
Sir Vince, Baron of Floribama in Madison, Alabama. I guess it's Floribama.
Mm-hmm.
333.33. Love the show. Donated 333.33 for Mother's Day. And shout out for my smoking hot Dame Amber, protector of the children. I would like to request her favorite jingles, Long Form, Sharpton, Reverend Manning Bitcoin, and Screaming Dog's Karma. Thanks for all you do, Sir Vince Baron of Floribama.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T. They're saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
You've got karma.
Stefan or Stephen Valletz, Jefferson, Louisiana, 333. Dear Adam and John, I'm making this donation on behalf of my dazzlingly divine wife and mother of our first human resource, Emma. Please deduce me. Or deduce her.
You've been deduced.
As she is a full douche. She's full of douche. Oh, man, you shouldn't say these things. Oh, goodness. Oops, lost it here. There we go. Sorry, scroll problem. Anyway, we started listening to your show after Adam's first appearance on Joe Rogan Experience, and we haven't missed a show since. Our child was born at the end of March 2020, the beginning of the lockdown madness. Frankly, I was lucky to be allowed into the hospital to witness the birth. Having a newborn in peak pandemic mania was scary indeed, but your show has kept our amygdala shrunk, and we've bulldozed our way through the virtue-signaling woke psychosis infecting this country. For that, we thank you, Emma. You are a wonderful mother and the best wife a douche like me could ever want. Happy Mother's Day. Love is lit. And he wants some goat karma and little girl yay.
You've got karma.
Mark Webster, 333. Parts unknown for Mark. Gentlemen, listener since Adam went on Tom Woods.
Oh, my goodness.
Tom Woods donation. Got my NA phone, loving it. Ah, highly recommend it. We should give a little background. How do you get one of those phones?
You go to noagendaphone.com. The producer there has put up a wonderful website where he shows you how you can turn a phone you buy off of Amazon or one you may have laying around into a Graphene OS No Agenda phone. He will also, for a small fee, do it for you. Noagendaphone.com.
NA periodically on his podcast, Free Man Beyond the Wall, wanted to plug it to Gitmo Nation because I think you will enjoy it. I'm sorry. Peter Quinones mentions NA periodically on his podcast, Free Man Beyond the Wall.
I see.
Wanted to plug it to Gitmo. Okay, so he's plugging us, so we just plugged him.
Yep, perfect.
Because it's called Log Rolling.
Log rolling. Yeah. Holy crap. I have not heard that term in a long time. Log rolling. Oh,
that's what it's called.
Yes, I remember it.
Give me some Obama, you might die, and have a great day.
You might die.
And you have a great day yourself, sir. Josh Cox, or Thoth of the Thalala NA Local 512 in Austin. Of course, give me something impossible to pronounce. 333. And this is for the best mom in the universe, Cheryl Cox, and she's also the fairy godmother of the web hosting co-op in Austin, Texas, from her son, Josh Cox, Sir Thoth of Thala, NA Local 512. Very nice. Thank you very much.
What's a web hosting?
He has a cooperative. It's webhosting.coop, I think. COOP, I think.
Yeah.
And it's a cooperative cloud service.
That's interesting.
It's a very smart idea. You should take a look at it.
Yeah, I will. Jeremy Dixon in Irving, Texas, 23456. He'll be our first associate executive producer. And he says, this donation brings me to knighthood just in time for, again, another 33rd birthday on the 10th. Please dub me Sir Jeremy of the Crooked the First. I think I'm guessing that's what that means. It says Crooked One. Accounting attached by separate email. Yes, you got the accounting too.
Cool, man. We'll make it so. Thank you very much, Jeremy Dixon.
You're good to go.
Our first associate executive producer, followed by, with the same amount, Stephen Wolf, 23456 from Arlington, Washington. My requests are goat, followed by goat karma, followed by a wrap-up goat. Like cowbell, you can't have too much goat. This donation is in honor of my mother, Charlotte. Da-da-da, nasty boys and nasty dude. This donation is in honor of my mother, Charlotte Erkel von Land. She was born in the midst of a Great Depression era, 1937, lives for many years in Minnesota, and has been living in beautiful Pensacuitos, San Diego. Am I saying that right? I'm sure I'm butchering that. Pensacuitos? Somewhere in San Diego for the past 30-plus years. She will achieve the fine age of 84 this year, still living on her own. Her marriage to Tom van Laan, I'm sorry, I can't help it but do it in Dutch, professor of English at Rutgers University, was the joy of her life. Although he passed away in 2017, they had a wonderful autumn of life relationship, and he is sorely missed. I became a knight on the show that went on forever, number 1,000. Yes, it's about 6 or 7 hours. My knighting was completely missed in the maelstrom. Oh, but I'd like to claim the title of Knight of the MF Assemblers, being an IBM assembler programmer for the past 35 years. That's a talent right there. Your show is the highlight of my podcast listening week, and whenever I wake up on a Thursday or the other Thursday, Sunday, I'm happy to know the No Agenda Show will be soon arriving in my podcast feed, which is true. Unless you're on the new Apple 14.5 podcast app, which is a piece of crap.
You've got karma.
There we go. All the goat you can eat.
It's pronounced piñasquitos.
Oh, wow. I never would have gotten that.
David Golding in Elgin, Great Britain, in Moray, 2:13:45. ITM gents, considering the world's gone full-blown batshit crazy this last year, I figured it's time to step up and donate more to the best podcast in the universe. A bastion of free speech and light in the dark for all. Plus, it takes me closer, almost halfway to the coveted knighthood. One day, I hope to become Sir David John Golding, Knight of Eternal Honor. Until that day, my mortal name will suffice. Sorry, John, for all the previous long notes. I shall endeavor to keep them short in the future. Thanks, as always, for all you do. Much love and respect from a dark hole known as Elgin. I think it's Elgin.
Elgin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Elgin. Located in the northeast of Scotland, for all you spooks out there. No jingles, no karma. Go podcasting. P.S. And then he's got something we don't need to read. Well, bitching about PayPal.
Well, David, thank you very much.
Go podcasting!
We have, another couple more associate executive producer, Jason Toliopoulos from Jamaica, New York, 202. In the morning, happy Mother's Day to Mary, who brings daily sanity to mine and my husband's lives. We can't thank you enough. You are loved. And to Emma, who is homeschooling four young and impressive human resources. They give us hope for the future. Love and light. And love and light back to you, Jason.
Sir Vincenzo in Brooklyn, New York, 20110. By the way, the donation after this is supposed to be anonymous. There's a name there.
I see it. I got you.
Brooklyn. Hey, guys. It's Sir Vincenzo. I've had to step up again and help produce the Mother's Day show. Please give me associate producer credit under Vinny Padula. For my own name's sake, my son Vincenzo turned 10 last Monday, May 3rd. He was born in 2010, hence the donation amount. So please put him on a birthday list. Mini Vinny is now double digits. Clips, shine on crazy Biden snippet. Biden wrong. Last in the show, ISO. Ilana Sleepy Joe with some goat karma thrown in for good measure. Finally. I wanted to ask you if you can help me build my YouTube channel with some more subscribers. I'm trying to do a music channel that will focus on guitar playing ideas and showcase my music. My latest release is a jazz rendition of an old classic hymn from the church. Holy, holy, holy YouTube. And these guys, the link, we'll try to put it in there. It's one of the singles off the Jazz Hymns album I will be releasing soon. If there are any No Agenda producers out there who are fans of jazz and enjoy some of the great hymns of the church, they can go and check out the first 5 singles from the album that are on my YouTube channel. You can also find them on the major music. Good luck finding any of this. You can also find them on the major music streaming services by searching for Vinny Padula, P-E-D-U-L-L-A. Again, keep up the great work. It's an honor to help produce the best podcast in the universe. Your No Agenda Knight, Sir Vincenzo.
Sir Vincenzo, if I may for a moment, give up on YouTube. The only thing that's going to happen, particularly when you're doing music, is someone's going to come along. They're going to give you strikes. They're going to be content copyright claims. It's not worth it. Go directly to noagendatube.com. And this is another producer who's doing this. Noagendatube.com. Open up an account there. That's where you want to start uploading it. And extra bonus, he will help you set up value for value streaming payments on that, because that works with video. Do not continue with YouTube. I'm sorry, we can also not help you with that. It's a dead end, my friend. Shine on, you
crazy modern. I gotta get this right. Something's seriously wrong here.
Here we go.
He is so cute. All right, Anonymous from North Carolina. This donation should be credited to my smoking hot wife, MILF, and mother of our unbelievable, all her credit, human resource, Kelly. I hit her in the mouth last year during the pandemic, and it was just in time. Her eyes have been opened. Without her, I'd be lost. Our dogs would be feral. Our son would be, oh God, I don't even. And the world would just as well go away. Happy Mother's Day to Kelly, the treater of animals, sweeper of dog hair, mother of the century to our little block of cheddar, and the love of my life. Love from Nick. Anonymous Nick. P.S. If there's time and room for jingles, I'd love to hear Climate Gate, Little Fauci Wheeze, and what's the last one there?
Sucking on Soot.
Sucking on Soot. Yeah, I think I can do these for you.
To the climate gates. Come on. When I first started college, when I went running, after 5 minutes, I'd start feeling a burning in my chest. And it was just me sucking in soot.
Sucking in soot. Chad.
I'll play the whole song at the end. It's kind of fun.
Chad Finkbeiner in Highland Heights, Ohio. He's the last guy on our list today. And we'll get back to the show. Jingles, Obama, you might die. Huh? There you go. Obama's popular today for some reason. This is all random number stuff. Wicked Witch of the West. Trump aroused. ITM, Adam and John. I'd like to wish my mother, Brenda Finkbeiner from Chelsea, Michigan, Happy Mother's Day. Keep doing what you do.
Oh, that's easy. So it was Obama, You Might Die, and The Wicked Witch. Was there a third one there that I missed?
And Trump aroused.
Oh, aroused. Okay, here we go.
You might die.
Yes, here's a little one. You come on up.
You cursed rat. Look what you've done. I'm
It was hard to get it aroused, and it is hard to get it aroused, but we got it aroused.
I'm not sure what the story is there, but we'll take it as it comes, man.
Doesn't sound right.
And that wraps up our associate executive producers and executive producers for episode 1345 of the No Agenda Show. Not for nothing that we're called the best podcast in the universe. Look at the producers. Just look at the producers. It's like, you know, Saturday Night Live has one guy. They got Lauren. What's his name? Lauren. Who produces that?
Who produced Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, Lauren. What's his last name?
Yeah, that guy. Lauren.
Lauren Michaels. Yeah. The best podcast in the US, we have tens of thousands, maybe, of active producers sending us information, background, experience, boots on the ground, clips, links, support in donations. It's a beautiful, beautiful product. It's an outstanding product, and I can only thank the producers for doing it. These producers are key. That's why they get these credits. Credits are completely valid anywhere. Credits are accepted. Don't let Hollywood tell you differently, because you are now an executive or associate executive producer of the No Agenda Show, episode 1345. If you'd like to be one of those, all you have to do is go to our donation page, which is at
Dvorak.org/NA.
And we thank you for your time, your talent, and your treasure for producing the No Agenda Show.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Whoa.
So did that piece of space junk come down, that rocket come down?
Yes, it came
down yesterday.
It came down in the Indian Ocean, right where they dumped Bin Laden's body.
Now I want to... Oh, that's interesting. Well, at least it didn't hit an embassy. Now let's... I want to play this clip from yesterday before it came down, because I understand it came down late.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the space... And I have a question for you. This is a borderline Ask Adam, but this is Space Junk Report on NPR. NPR.
Okay.
A massive Chinese rocket that launched into space last week is out of control and tumbling back to Earth. It's supposed to enter the atmosphere as early as tomorrow, and no one's exactly sure where it's going to land. To be clear, it probably won't hit anyone or anything, but while there's a low risk to public safety, it highlights a growing call for greater regulation of space junk. From member station WMFE in Orlando, Brendan Byrne reports.
When the Chinese space agency launched part of its new space station,
good sound effect.
The 100-foot rocket delivered its payload into orbit. Normally, mission managers would send it into a controlled deorbit back to Earth. That didn't happen. So now the 24-ton rocket is about to crash into the atmosphere at 18,000 miles per hour.
And so the concern is it's going to get low enough, as it has friction with the atmosphere, to bring it down.
That's Jonathan McDowell of Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. He says most pieces of space junk burn up in the atmosphere, but this one is so big, parts of it are expected to survive the fiery reentry.
That it will burst into flame and fall into pieces that will fall to Earth. And of course, we don't know where, because we don't know exactly when.
Despite the uncertainty, the public safety risk is quite small. It will likely land in the ocean, which covers some 70% of the planet.
As an individual, if you're worried for yourself, don't be, right? The Earth is big. The chance that it's going to land in your head is pretty tiny.
Still, the return of the space debris highlights a growing need to regulate space junk. The U.S. Space Command tracks some 27,000 pieces of orbital debris around the clock. That number increases after every launch, says space policy analyst Laura Forsick.
Think of it in terms of Earth pollution. If we just keep on littering the Earth's surface, eventually we need to clean that up. And the same thing has happened with all the launching parties, the United States included.
Another Chinese rocket fell uncontrolled back to Earth last year when it landed off West Africa. The White House says the U.S. is committed to addressing the risk of space junk and will work with the international community to promote responsible behavior in space. The latest estimates have the piece of debris making entry tomorrow night, give or take 9 hours.
Okay.
So here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they launched it. They had eyes on it. They're tracking it.
Mm-hmm.
They see it. They know where it's with the speed. They know what it's going at. They know it's going to come into the hit the planet, and it's going to come and it's going to burn up and all the rest. They know all this stuff. They can see it. They can measure it. They know how fast it's going, but they can't be even be within 9 hours of, I guess, from the sounds of it. They weren't even within 24 hours of knowing when it was going to crash or where, because he says we don't know when it's going to crash, when it's going to crash. We don't know where it's going to crash. So all that, with knowing you have eyes on it, they can't figure out when it's going to crash, where it's going to crash. They finally crash way before it's supposed to. With all that in mind, how can they predict climate 100 years from now?
I was waiting for it. Well, first of all, maybe we should look at this particular piece of news that was just incessant everywhere, the same talking points. We don't know when, we don't know where, it's out of control.
It's the distraction.
It's clearly a distraction of the week. Don't look over here. Look over here. Look at something was going on that we missed.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And it could all, I mean, there was other Chinese news besides my space junk burning. My space junk's burning up, yo. And this came out just this morning. Consider the source. It is Sky Australia. So you never know, what the crazy Trump friend Rupert Murdoch will launch into the atmosphere. But there's documents, there's receipts for this one. We'll keep it with the Chiners.
First tonight, new details from a document produced by Chinese military scientists where they discuss weaponizing SARS coronaviruses 5 years before the pandemic hit. The book was written by People's Liberation Army scientists and senior Chinese public health officials back in 2015. It describes SARS coronaviruses as heralding, and I quote, a new era of genetic weapons. It says they can be artificially manipulated into an emerging human disease virus, weaponized and unleashed in a way never seen before. One of the authors of this book is the former deputy director of China's Bureau of Epidemic Prevention, Li Feng, and the editor-in-chief of the paper, Zhu Dezhong, was the leader of the SARS Epidemic Analysis Expert Group under the Chinese Ministry of Health. He reported to the top leadership of the Chinese Military Commission and the Health Ministry during the 2003 SARS crisis. He briefed them 24 times.
Hello.
He also prepared 3 reports for the General Office of the Communist Party's Central Committee and the General Office of the State Council. He gave 2 big interviews on Chinese state TV and appeared in 6 news articles. He was responsible for 16 national and military command topics. Now, just to be clear, before I go on and bring you new information from this document, while intelligence agencies suspect, and they've been investigating this since early last year, that COVID-19 may be the result of an accidental leak from a Wuhan lab, there's no suggestion it was an intentional release.
Okay. spontaneous release, perhaps. I think this is this will go nowhere, but I do like it.
It's going nowhere as we speak.
I do like it.
I like it too. It's a great Well, I've always been a subscriber to the Wuhan lab developing this thing because unless the pangolins did it.
The damn pangolins. I'm pretty sure that you can find a CIA document with similar ideas. Hey, man, we could do the SARS SARS virus. We can kill the Chiners. I mean, I'm sure that document exists. We need to get rid of all of these people. All these people are no good. No good in our lives. Just no good. But, you know, we just deconstruct the news. Oh, my goodness. I got a great example of what is wrong with the news today. And what is primarily wrong is, gosh, I'm going to peg it at least 75%, maybe higher, of people who consume news, consume it on social media and only read the headlines. And that's all they need. And what's fun about this is that headlines are rarely, if ever, written by the author of the piece. It's a whole division. Isn't that typically so, that the headline is a whole division?
Usually the editor.
Oh, an editor does that?
Well, unless there's, sometimes you'll have a publication where you have some very talented headline writers, rare, but it happens. And I've run into one that you just want them writing your headlines because it's just like stunning headlines. It's pretty phenomenal when that happens. The writer rarely writes the headline.
There's a millennial on TikTok who does a daily rundown of the news. And I think this is exactly how most people, I'm not even saying millennials or young people or old people, most people today, this is how you consume your news. And if you identify yourself at any minute, any second of this minute, then you've got a problem.
It's Thursday night, and here's what happened. And I want to warn you, all of the news tonight will have you going, what? A Navy SEAL who was acquitted of murder went on a podcast this week to admit that he committed the murder. What? John Cox, a candidate for governor in California, brought a half-ton bear on stage with him. What? An Ohio state senator showed up to a meeting today where they introduced a distracted driving bill. He appeared to be calling in from his vehicle, but put up a Zoom background to make it look like he was home. What? Debris from a Chinese rocket launch is making an uncontrolled re-entry to Earth, and they pretty sure it's not going to hit any people. New York Attorney General found that a broadband company paid $8.5 million to trick the FCC into thinking that Americans wanted the company to be able to regulate internet speeds. And scammers have been caught selling fire extinguishers as oxygen tanks to coronavirus victims in India. What?
I guarantee you, you've heard at least one of those stories from someone saying, hey man, did you hear about the fire extinguishers being stolen in India? Huh? That's the problem.
I think that's a good show.
It's Well, all right, I got nothing to say. You got me on that one. Outstanding. It's a great show. By the way, one of the trolls pointed out a good point, that most of these stories are all paywalled. So people are kind of left with the headline.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes it even better.
When you think about that, it's like, oh, look at this headline. If you click on paywall, whatever. I got the headline. It's all I need. But the real news, or the people who make the real news, are always funniest when they're on a podcast. And I'm going to refer to author extraordinaire and superstar celebrity anchor newsman Jake Tapper of CNN. This whole podcast is to be enjoyed at your leisure. He was on the Bill Simmons podcast. It's a known podcast. You know, it's a good answer, question and answer type thing. And Jake is calling in. And this was really about media and news in the post-Trump era, which, as we know, is a problem. I mean, luckily we have Liz Cheney because we can keep her at the top of the, like, no one cares about Liz Cheney. Nobody. But we can connect Trump to it. Trump. Oh, and then we have Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Gates kid going out. Oh, yes, Trump rally. Trump tour. And this is very annoying. It's not really working. It's very pathetic. But Jake Tapper cannot stop himself talking about just how horrible the news business is and all the horrible things that I guess Fox News has done. And we'll listen to a little bit of him on the Bill Simmons podcast.
Yes, you're right. Look, there's been ugly politics forever and all of that. And, you know, I think that, you know, you raise a good point. Are we now just more aware of it? And that's possible because of social media. We're now just more aware of what everybody is reporting and everybody is saying. And maybe it was just before they were just saying it in smaller groups and we just weren't aware of it. You know, and like I've written about some of this stuff. So, yeah, there have been ugly parts. But, you know, one of the things that historians always used to say when things got ugly in politics was, well, you know, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, you know, they had pamphleteers that would go after each other and call, you know, call John Adams a hermaphrodite and things got really ugly.
Did you know this story?
I know that back in the day, they would calling each other all kinds of things, but I can't say that I've heard the hermaphrodite thing.
Yeah, well, it's
and I wonder if it's true. I mean, it was just,
well, I looked it up. I looked it up, and there's,
oh, was it?
I didn't see any pamphlet per se, but it does seem to be a thing. Yeah, the election of 1800, Adams versus Jefferson, but apparently it was a joke because of Adams, and Adam would be, you know, the first man was a man and a woman because he gave, you know, it's like all this stuff, like, okay, whatever. But that Jake Tapper brings this up.
And things got really ugly. You know, in this last race, literally, Trump and his family were accusing Joe Biden of being, essentially being a pedophile.
Hold on a second. Does he not say that they literally accused him of being a pedophile and then says essentially
Trump and his family were accusing?
Well, hold on, back a little further.
And things got really ugly. You know, in this last race, literally, Trump and his family were accusing Joe Biden of being essentially being a pedophile. I mean, so I think the degree to which it is uglier than ever before, and the ugliness is that there's just a sense of shame that is just gone from the marketplace when it comes to some people, what they are willing to say about another person.
Okay. So he's saying the shame is gone, what some people are willing to call another person, and that the Trump family literally called Joe Biden a pedophile. Oh, gee, let me just grab a random clip from the bin and let's look at some examples of people without shame calling people horrible things.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I don't know. We won't call them fascist comments. Fascist, fascism, fascist. Call fascism, fascism, just fascist. Fascist
notions of fascism, xenophobic, racist, demagogic, racist, sexist, xenophobic, autocratic, and fascistic. Donald Trump is a fascist.
someone like a fascist or a tyrant or an autocrat.
Fascist rhetoric, fascist language, fascists.
I'm glad that you're starting talking about fascism. Hitler, right.
Fascist rhetoric. He's talking the way fascists talk. Autocratic, fascist, Nazi Germany before the rise of Hitler. Fascist language.
To Hitler, fascist, Hitler. Adolf Hitler.
Hitler, Hitler, well, Hitler, 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 but Hitler.
From what Adolf Hitler preached in the early 30s. Let's just say it once and for all.
Oh, okay. I guess that didn't happen, Jake Tapper. Why don't you take it one step further, just so the guys at the No Agenda show can have a laugh.
Like I said, even though President Trump's voice has been quieted because of his removal from social media and his defeat in the election, you know, you have more people believing his lies than ever before also. So I don't know. It's we need a sane and strong Republican Party. I'm not one who thinks like the Democratic Party has the answers to anything. I think there needs to be a lively, fact-based debate on these things, but people can't just be making stuff up about election fraud, a cabal of satanic worshiping pedophiles. I mean, who are cannibals also, by the way. Don't forget the cannibals.
And pizza eaters.
Yeah, right. Well, we know what pizza means. I mean,
right.
I'm sure you do, Jake Tapper. Sure you do.
What a douchebag.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty pathetic.
Well, there's another little undercurrent of something happening over at TCM. Turner Classic Movies, of all places. Oh. What is Turner Classic's Movies known for?
Turner Classic Movies is known for starting 5 minutes after the hour, right after the late night news would kick in. They would start with, after you get the headlines, they'd start with a movie.
Turner Classic Movies plays old movies.
Okay.
That's what they're known for.
Okay.
But now they're woke.
Ooh, baby. On the woke train.
So they have to do more than that. They just can't just play classic old movies and let us watch them, and who cares?
Oh, God.
They've got a, like, now they got a new show called TCM Reframed, where they're going to explain to us.
Ah.
What's wrong with these movies?
Oh, bro.
And here, I got three clips from this little, just a rundown. It's not much. The first clip's the long one. Let's go with TCM. And you can see where this is headed. This is headed to getting rid of these movies or re-editing them.
When you go back to watch an older movie you love, it feels a little bit off. Like, ugh, this hasn't aged well. The University of Chicago film professor Jacqueline Stewart had that feeling with Purple Rain, starring the one and only Prince. Purple
Rain, purple. What's wrong with that movie?
It's a musical that I adore. It's also a film that features a scene where a woman's thrown into a garbage dumpster.
Incredible artistry, undercurrents of misogyny. Unpacking those mixed feelings is what Jacqueline Stewart does as one of the hosts for the Turner Classic Movies channel in a new series called TCM Reframed.
We're asking them to reframe films that they had not thought about in those ways.
TCM Reframed focuses on classic films from the 20s through the 60s, films that have stood the test of time, but are now problematic.
Problematic, you say?
Yeah, they're problematic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Purple Rain thing has no good. Nothing's good, by the way.
Purple Rain? That's, jeez. All right.
So here's two of the issues they're very concerned about. And then Mankiewicz, the guy that took over from the other old guy who died, unfortunately, is all on board with this. But let's listen to part two of this clip.
And to make the movies part of a national conversation about race, about ethnicity, about sexual orientation, and about gender.
Oh, shameful. Trying to gain viewership by creating a conversation about some old crap-ass movie.
And gender. So when I watch a 1938, 1935 movie, I'm going to concern myself with gender.
Oh,
gender
my.
Issues. Now, of course, I say that, you know, but then they can build something up and push back with the following, which is the last clip. This went on for a long time, by the way. I only took three short clips.
I love this. This is great.
And this is another one. Listen to this.
I can certainly say that when we were talking about Psycho, that's a film that I was surprised to see on the programming list. I really had to educate myself about the ways that Psycho has been such a harmful film to the trans community.
What? Okay. Wait a minute. I don't even want you to explain that to me. If this had just come at me, just I was sitting down watching TV, I would have said, clip it, because that's one of the day.
Clip of the day.
Explain to me how Psycho is bad for the trans community.
Because the guy, the murderer, or somebody in the movie dressed up as a woman.
He was
a transvestite.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was bad? Isn't that incredibly progressive?
Well, he was the murderer. He was Psycho. Hello.
That's also
only psychos dress. Only psycho men dress as women. And so it's hurtful.
Oh, I see. Okay. Wow.
Now, you watch any of these old movies, they're all hurtful. They're hurtful. Oh, they're hurtful. And they're going to, this is the end of the classics. I'm saying there's no, I don't see any way back from this.
Not even the, just not the classics. Turn on TV Land, my go-to fall asleep channel.
I do. Get it while you can.
Yes. I mean,
watch Leave It to Beaver while you can.
The amount of times Doug Heffernan on King of Queens says that's gay, or Ray Romano is misogynist on Everybody Loves Raymond, or what else is on there? Got Two and a Half Men.
Stop. Two and a Half Men is totally off the rails.
Stop with two. That whole channel should be taken down.
Yeah,
I mean
it's coming.
It's an outrage, I tell you. Well,
it's coming.
Let's do your trans kids in sports, because I see it there. It's just jumping out at me. I want to know.
Okay, well, let's play. This is another thing. This one is always, you know, everyone has a side on this. The logical side is that if you're born a boy and you transition to a girl, you can't play in girl sports. Now, but that's not the way the progressives want it. They don't. No. Because they want to, I believe they want to ruin women's sports, period. That's the only reason for this. Let's listen to Democracy Now on their take on trans kids sports. This is clip one.
West Virginia's Republican Governor Jim Justice has signed legislation to ban trans girls and women from competing on sports teams at any public school, including state colleges. A similar bill approved by lawmakers in Florida is awaiting the governor's signature. And in Texas, the state Senate has approved a bill to criminalize gender-affirming health care for trans youth. By some counts, close to one-fifth of U.S. states could ban trans kids from sports by the end of this legislative session.
Yeah, this is going on in Texas now, too. And I'm not really quite sure what forces are at work here, but it seems like the, Collegiate Athletic League or whoever.
Oh, the NCAAs, they're all in on this.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big business, though. I mean, they shuttle kids into big leagues.
It's a big business, and they're trying to. You know, a lot of this has to do with these Title 11, Title 10, one of these.
Title 10, I think, yeah.
Edicts that you had to spend as much money on women's sports as men. There could be an element of that destroying women's sports just to say, you're taking our money, the men. Mm. You're taking our money that should be for men's sports. You women don't, you have what, lacrosse and a couple of swimming meets. You don't do that much. We have giant football games, huge stadiums, track and field. We do all these things. And so we need the money. It could be the men that are propagating this, because it benefits men's sports, it seems to me, by ruining women's sports. That's a little no agenda-y, but I think it's a possibility. Let's just the clip two of this.
Meanwhile, President Biden expressed support for trans youth during a speech to Congress Wednesday night.
For all transgender Americans watching at home, especially young people, you're so brave. I want you to know your president has your back.
Yeah. Good for you, Joe. Now, the thing that was interesting out here in California is that Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes.
Formerly known as.
Bruce.
He just dead named her. Bad. Bad.
Hey, oh, I'm so bad.
Now, that Caitlyn Jenner, formerly known as, is a very famous sports star.
Yes.
An athlete of the highest order.
A hero. I would say Bruce Jenner, still no matter what Bruce Caitlin is today, still a hero. I mean, I grew up like, oh my God, Bruce Jenner kicking ass, USA, phone figure number one.
Yeah. She has come out and said transgender women that were boys should never compete against women in sports. And he is transgender, and he should know.
But that's not being accepted.
Oh, you haven't heard that? What? You haven't heard that, have you?
What haven't I heard?
That he did this.
I have, but I heard that she
did this. You're supposed to play along, will you? Jeez.
Oh. Never
mind.
Your cues are horrible.
That's what Kara Swisher said earlier.
Play along.
In her interview.
Yeah, play along.
And by the way, I was thinking about this with your theory about the cabal taking over the CIA. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why she's so eager to get in.
Yes. Yes, of course. No, she's pissed that she hasn't been invited.
Yeah.
Of course.
Unbelievable. You know, I just found this anyone who thinks that or cares. I mean, why don't they just put a third category up for transgender sports, the transgender Olympics? I'd be fine. I'd be good with that.
The whole problem is it's conflated in so many different directions, which confuses everybody. So I think really it's the athletics league, and they have political and corporate pressure that they're putting on lawmakers. Now, why? I mean, if that's just for their wokeness, I'm not sure. But no one seems to be interviewing or talking to anyone at the was it NAACP? Is that the
NCAA?
NCAA. Yeah, there you go. The NCAA. I mean, that it seems like that's where most of the problems are coming from. Then there's the subversive element that is just has been inside the educational system for way too long. And then, you know, quite frankly, I think trans people are being abused and used by the political parties, by the left in particular. Just as a general token to throw out there. It's like if it doesn't fit within a racial context, then fuck it, then it's trans problem. And it's demeaning and it's horrible, and I can't believe people put up with it, but they're under some kind of spell. The third really big issue is, and that's what's going on here in Texas, is they want to put laws into place where a parent cannot subject their underage children to certain types of medical treatments. And the examples are always given as well. You know, there's a two-year-old who they're giving, you know, hormone blockers to or some kind of operation. And yes, I mean, I don't know if that's really how bad that is because we don't have a count. I mean, you know, it's like, is it 100 parents in the country? Is it 100,000? I mean, from the way its importance in the news, you think that, like, this is happening everywhere. You know, and it just feels to me like these bills are, you know, oh, it's horrible. They're mutilating young children. But then once we got this bill in place, then we can screw the woke people with their, with their athletic league crap. So it's being abused on all sides. On all sides. But we did, I got the book that parents buy when they believe that, and I think there is an element of woke parents who really are into this and think that, holy crap, you know, this is it. My kid is clearly showing that she belongs in a different body, and, you know, I want to get some stuff going. And that book was really all about the parents, like how you deal with it, how you deal with the political fallout, not so much about the child. And Tina and I were talking about this because it's baffling to us what's going on, just the, you know, all these different agendas. And she said, this is Munchausen by proxy, which for some reason she knows about. And
all women know about that.
Oh, really? Why is that?
I don't know. They just all do. I've never met a woman that doesn't know about it.
Huh. Well, and Munchausen by proxy is, I mean,
You know why I think it is? I think all women, they're afraid of that happening to them, and they're afraid of postpartum depression where they go nuts, like Brooke Shields had these issues, you know, where she almost went completely insane after having a baby.
Yes.
Women are all, they keep up with all that stuff, and Munchausen by proxy is a classic.
Yeah, well, and if you look at the definition of Munchausen by proxy syndrome, it is a condition which a caregiver, parent, gives the appearance of health problems in another person, typically their child. This may include injuring the child or altering test samples. Then they present the person as being sick or injured or trans. The behavior occurs without a specific benefit to the caregiver. You know, it's like, could be possible. And when you think about all of the, what I'm calling spells, do you think psychotropic drugs could have anything to do with this? That the amount of people who are doped up in the United States just make them susceptible to believing stuff? Anything?
It's possible. Why not? Something's up.
Or could it be science? Something's up. Or could it be binary? You know, gosh, we've been medicating women in particular since the Mama's Little Helper, right? The Prozac.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the Mama's Little Helper. I think was specifically was Valium.
Oh, Valium. I'm sorry. Right. Valium. Then from Valium later came Prozac. And now we're in the SSRIs. We don't really know what they do.
No.
So there's a lot going on.
Just take them. We'll figure it out later. It's like, just pass the bill. We'll read it after it's passed.
Yeah, that's the way it should work.
Same thing.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
No Agenda in the morning. And we do have a few people to thank for show 1345, if I'm not mistaken. Concerned with Laura Wilson, $155.55. She also has a birthday for the Baron. Bridget, it'll be in the birthday call out.
Yep.
Bridget Rebich in Kennewick, Washington, 1976. Another birthday.
Yep, for Ross.
Amber Hagerman in Woodinville, Washington, another Washingtonian, $100. Paula Nukas, 60. Why don't you take a look at Amber's note and see if there's anything.
No, it's one of many notes of people sending me very reasonable ideas of how to deal with my family issue with not being vaccinated.
By the way, if there's any call us to mom.
Yes, I'm looking for these... it. I'm looking for it.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, good. Thanks. Paula Nukas, 60. Carrie Middleton, another birthday from Milton Keynes.
And a request to not only congratulate Paul Middleton with his 40th, but also de-douche him.
You've been de-douched.
Yeah, you do the names and I can do the...
That was $60, yeah.
You do the names.
Magdaleno.
Yeah.
Magdaleno Gutierrez.
Yes.
5921. And this is 5921 is the... Mother's Day donation.
And this is to honor my amazing mom, Kimberly Gutierrez in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Lauren Ball in Slidell, Louisiana.
Happy Mother's Day to mom and sister.
Owen Story, parts unknown.
For my mom, Kathy, please check out the Howling at the Moon vintage for producers interested in vintage clothing accessories. Oh, you snuck it in, didn't you? Okay. Got me. Good one.
Chris Terhart in Abbotsford, B.C.
For my wonderful mother, Margaret.
Sir Nigel Ewan, I think is E-W-A-N, in Columbus, Ohio.
This is for his wonderful wife, Karen. Happy Mother's Day. Also to my mom, Sally, who needs a douchebag call out.
Douchebag.
Harsh, man. Harsh. D-bagging your
harsh,
mom.
Harsh,
D-bagging
harsh.
Your mom on Mom's Day. All right.
Sir Dodd of the Pears in Pearland, Texas.
In the morning for my mom, Sissy Dodd. There you go.
Cal Johnson.
And that's to Jessica Fox.
Eric Hilbert.
Happy birthday and Mother's Day to Sarah. Sarah is perfection with estrogen. Love from Eric, Ellie, and Anna.
That's cute.
That is cute.
Dan During in Forestell, Missouri.
And I guess it's a happy Mother's Day, but no mom listed. An unlisted
happy
mom.
Birthday and Mother's Day to Sarah.
That's
I'm sorry, I've got the wrong one.
Yes.
Sir Vince Knight of the PNW, Pacific Northwest. He's in Milpitas.
Yes. Happiest of Mother's Day to my mom, Tina, my beautiful MILF Army, and my mother-in-law, Luz. Love the show. Thank you for your courage.
Christopher Bryant, 5921.
Happy Mother's Day to my MILF girlfriend, Miranda, and future dame.
Joseph Hotter in Ocala, Florida.
And this could only be for the best mom, Brenda Hotter. Happy Mother's Day. Love you truly.
Is that Ocala? I'm not sure.
Ocala, I think. Yeah.
David Wicker.
Please de-douche my red hot mama, Jules.
You've been de-douched.
Thank you very much.
people came in. This is unlike the old days when we had mother haters.
No, but this is as we determined last year, coronavirus and the lockdowns made people appreciate their moms that much more and realize just by being a mom, sometimes you're helpful. Just by existing. I know sometimes I wish my mom were around for a little bit.
Noah Wattenmaker. He's got nothing to say. Austin Van Patter.
For the kindest, wisest mother in the world, Christine.
Robert Donahue.
Says, Happy Mother's Day, Nordic wench. Apparently that's what they call her.
Stephen Hill.
Hold on a sec, where was I? For my sweet girl and total keeper, Hannah, Happy Mother's Day, my love. Thank you for loving me and making me a father. I'm so proud of our A-team. And request a de-douching for her.
You've been de-douched.
There's a lot of these. Yeah. Nicholas Brownstead in Chicago.
That is Happy Mother's Day to my wonderful mother, No Agenda listener herself, and all the No Agenda moms out there.
Jay Rhetoric.
Happy Mother's Day to Barb in Weatherford, Texas. And before that was Scott Jalbert, who said Happy Mother's Day to Jean Jalbert.
Chris Smothers.
For his mother, Patty Mitchell Roars, Happy Mother's Day.
Kyle Johnson.
To Elizabeth Johnson.
Neil Widensall.
Yes. To three great moms, Mitzi, Annette, and Heather. Thanks for all you do.
Miguel Lopez in Flanders, New Jersey.
Yes. Happy birthday to his mother, Mercedes, my loving wife, Tanya, and my fantastic sister, Mercy.
Troy Tice. Yes. In Omaha.
Alicia, it's her first Mother's Day. And congratulations. And thank you for being a great mom.
Michael Gilbert.
Has no mom. Happy Mother's
Christopher
Day.
Christopher Schwab.
No, Klaus's brother. Shout out to my mom, who is an inner city school teacher. Please send some karma to someone who's trying to keep the kids that want to learn from falling through the cracks. Love you, Mom. Oh, that's beautiful. That is from our No Agenda Squire. Yeah, we'll give all the moms some karma in a moment.
Kendra Lamott.
Yep.
In East Haven, Connecticut.
Yeah, I'm sure she loves her mom, but she did not mention her.
Derb of the Swamplands.
It's probably in the same boat there as Kendra. Love you, Mom, but didn't mention her.
Joshua Schmidt.
Happy Mother's Day to Amanda, Luann, Paulette, Elise, Alice, and Betty.
Sir Chris. Wap Caplets of the Rolling Bones in Ancaster, Ontario, Canada.
Happy Mother's Day to my mom, Sigrid, and my mother-in-law, Mary. Stay safe with Jesus or go F yourselves, he says.
Right. Know what it says?
That's what it says. Stay safe Allison with Jesus.
Allison Stewart.
Allison says, in honor of two great moms we lost 3 years ago, Happy Mother's Day, Donna and Liz. We miss you every day. Sending love and light to all those missing a mom today. Well, that's us. Thank you. That's very
Stuart kind. Walton in Staffordshire, UK.
This annual donation is from my mom, Jill, from my brother, Simon, and I. 87 years old, still going strong, and to my wife, Michelle, from my daughter, Lucy, and my son, Alex. She's still putting up with us all after 20 years of motherhood and marriage. Love and light.
Nice. Donald DeHart in Mobile, Alabama.
Happy Mother's Day to Stacy, my wonderful wife, and Madison, our daughter, and new mother. Marcia was born on April 26. Congratulations, new mom.
Paul Love in Richmond, Virginia.
Happy Mother's Day to all from Sir Daddy Cast, Baron of the Center of the Universe.
Paul Hooper.
Happy Mother's Day to Dame Lisa Stradler of the Universes.
Chris Collins in Walnut Grove, Missouri.
Please, a happy Mother's Day to my beautiful wife, Tammy. She is the best mom I know. These are really nice notes. I like this. For all the douchebaggery you talk about on this show, this is a very nice high point.
Yes. Sir Nathan Lane in Norwood, Massachusetts.
Happy Mother's Day to his mother, Linda Lee, from your son, who loves you, Nathan Lee.
Christina P. Henry in Mishawaka, Indiana.
Shout out to my mother-in-law, Flo. She's my husband's stepmom, so a little younger than most moms. She's battling stage 4 lung cancer and always says she should be taking care of me because she is the mom. I tell her she's more like a sister or dear friend, so she can lean on me. Christina Henry. That's very kind.
And last on this long list is Colin Newfrey in Fort Lee, New Jersey.
And he says, Happy Mother's Day, Mama Nell. This producer does not hate his mother. That's right. Beautiful.
That's nice. All right. Now, keep an eye out for the further moms that we, as we go through the normal list now. We're 5723 from Bart Bertens, and he's in Best Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Erica Rispo in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. That's interesting. Hmm. 5028. And she sent a note in, which it was in a nice card. This donation is a thank you for my medical diagnosis. I'm a 39-year-old female, unvaccinated, MRI tech, without going into gory details. My side was severely irregular in January, February. I was bleeding for a whole month. Wow. My doctor had no answers for me as to why this was happening. I'm glad to know that there isn't anything wrong with my body. Thankfully, it was just a bioweapon attack.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with you.
From all my vaccinated co-workers. This story would have been easy to dismiss as total horseshit, but it happened to me. There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you're full of shit. Can't be true. Fact check Friday.
Fact check Friday. Erica, that's Erica in Benson. She came in with 5028, and that was, we don't normally read notes down there. She knows that, but that note was too good. Now we have $50 donors, just name and location. Raymond Berry in Las Wages, Nevada. Bart Beekwilder. And he's also in Vechel, North Brabant in Holland.
They nailed it.
Matthias Milchinski in Stevenson Beach, California. Sir Hamus of the Piedmont Province in Mooresville, North Carolina. I thought there was another Mooresville lurker up there. Jonathan Meyer in Xenia, Ohio. Edward Mazurik in Memphis, Tennessee. I think it's a night. Sir Joel DeRuyan in Bakersfield, California. And last but not least, Christopher Rivera in Austin, Texas. And that's your group of producers for the great Mother's Day special show, 1345.
Yes, and thank you for loving your moms. Moms are important, and they do good work. Even the moms that don't know what they're doing, they still do good work. Moms are great. Opposing karmas, but they're necessary.
You've got karma. You've got karma.
And thank you all for supporting No Agenda Show 1345. If you'd like to do it for Thursday's show, go to
Dvorak.org/NA.
And today being the 9th of, what are we now, April, I guess, May. Jesus, moving so fast. May, that's what I meant. Here's your birthdays for today. Oh, actually, a few on the way, some belated, but we say happy birthday to Jeremy Dixon, who turns 33 tomorrow. Sir Kevin Dills will be 35 on the 12th. Robert Blankshain, 24 on the 13th. Taurus Rimkus will be 20 on the 12th. Sir Vincenzo says happy birthday to his son, Vincenzo, who turned 10 on the 3rd. Carrie Middleton, happy birthday to Paul Middleton. He's turning 40 today. Eric Hilbert, happy birthday to his mom, Sarah. Laura Wilson says happy birthday to Sir Austin Barron of Puget Sound. And Bridget Reddick says happy birthday to her husband, Ross. And we say happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday, yeah. Now, we have a surprising amount of nights today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have a few requests for the round table, but Not that many. So hopefully people will be good with mutton and meat. Get out your blade, John. There's a lot of people here.
There you go.
Okay, perfect. Up on the podium, please, Dave Humphreys, Jeremy Dixon, Stephen Wolf, Taurus Rimkus, Randy Vizentine, and Chuck Douglas. Gentlemen, all of you have successfully completed the task of supporting the No Agenda Show in the amount of $1,000 or more. And it gives me great pleasure to pronounce the KB as Sir Dogbite of the Great Blue Hill, Sir Jeremy of the Crooked the First, Black Knight of the MF Assemblers, Sir Toadeye, Sir Randy of Drummingham, and Sir Ones and Zeros of the East Valley of the Sun. For you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, Filet Mignon done medium rare, and Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, and Meatloaf. We also have some Redheads and Rye, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, and, well, of course, we have Mutton and Mead. And while you're enjoying that here at the round table, just write down this address, noagendanation.com/rings, so that we can get you your official night ring, your sealing wax, and your certificate off to you as soon as possible. And thank you sincerely for joining us here at the round table, the Knights and the Dames, and for supporting the No Agenda Show.
No Agenda.
It's like a big-ass party, everybody. NoAgendaMeetups.com. Thank you, Dreb Scott, for registering NoAgendaMeetups.com. Goes to the same place, so if you are planning on a meetup instead of a meetup, you know what to do. We have such a full calendar, a full slate for the month of May, but first, a couple of reports that came in. People are doing a better job with producing these. I'm quite happy. Let's listen how the Memphis No Agenda Bad Beer Party went.
Hello, No Agenda Knights and Dames from the No Agenda Bad Beer Protest at Hammer and Ale in Memphis. And I'm here with
Sir Nine, coming at you from Soulsville, USA, in the morning.
This is Ted. Ty calls me a crackpot. Sir Nine says I'm a buzzkill, but there's no real conflict.
And I'm Todd McMahon, and we're glad to be here
in the morning.
Yes, the protest, not party, of course. Red 33, Red 33, Mayday, 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 Boston meetup.
In the morning! Hey, John and Adam, it's Brandon, a.k.a. Northeast Pimp Style. Stay safe.
Hey, this is Douchebag Steven in the morning.
In the morning, everybody. Have a good day.
Hey, this is Sir Karras, Baron of Greater Boston. In the morning.
Baron Wooden Shoes. We got heads on sticks.
And of course, one last one, if we can get it open here. And we can still get it up. They haven't gotten the vaccine yet.
Sir Nathan Lee Miller Foster, Kayla Goodnight of the White Lodge, Blue Orchid of the Gold Hard Mountain Top, Queen Directory, Elstone, Bearer of the Sword Reforged. John and Adam, thank you for all you do.
In the morning!
Yeah. Man, one day anthropologists are going to find that and go, what the hell was going on with those people?
It'll take a while.
Low country meetup.
Hi, it's Dave Jennifer in the morning.
This is David.
This is Leela.
From Fun Fact Friday.
Hi, this is Greg from Charleston. I'm standing next to Dame Jennifer in the morning.
Hello, I'm Joe from Myrtle Beach.
Hi, this is Douchebag Andrea in the morning.
In the morning, it's Rusty Jones from Myrtle Beach. I come up here to try to get Jane Jennifer to come to one of my meetups.
In the morning, it's Sheila. I didn't get a biscuit on my birthday, but I got to hang with all the low country producers.
Sifoid Jason. I'm spreading my disease to everybody here.
This is Professor Tom. I'm having a PBR in honor of the man who put the sea in rising sea levels, John C. Dvorak.
In the morning, this is K-Dog from the Low Country.
In the morning, this is Katie with Human Resource Number 2 in Brew.
And this is Mark from Georgia visiting Clever Name 70 on the No Agenda Social. Glad to be here.
Hey, this is Tech White. This is a science officer on the Ever Given. I woke up in the wrong city this morning.
In the morning!
Clearly a super spreader event. And then the final one, the Nisswa Minnesota Nuts Mayday Meetup.
Hey, it's C-Rock of the Landlock here in beautiful Nisswa, Minnesota at Barbecue Beer and Axe Throwing Freedom Fest. John, it's pronounced Shakopee and YZ.
Dan the UPS man, great to be here.
Adam, Sir Eagle, I know. I just want to let you know it's actually pronounced Adina. I'm just kidding. It's Adina, not Adina.
This is Boot Berry, Mothman of the Miniocalypse. Love is lit.
Hey, this is Rob Arden Hills. Just making the 2-hour trip to get up here and eat some good food and hang out with some good people.
Sir Gnarls, kids, cover your ears. Hooray, hooray. It's the 1st of May. Outdoor fucking starts today.
Woo! John, it's pronounced Minnetonka.
Hey, I'm Dennis. I hit 2 of these douchebags in the mouth and they still haven't contributed, but I did bring an axe to a knife fight, and here we are.
Stay safe, Adam and John. Hey, don't tell me what to do.
Evo shapeshifting.
No agenda.
I'm signing out from Human Region 5, Minnesota.
All right. High quality production there. We have a couple of meetups.
I pronounce it Minnetonka, don't I?
I'm on the verge of banning these pronunciation corrections in the meetup reports.
Well, I like the Y, whatever it is, Y Seta, whatever that one was, because I don't pronounce that correct.
Mm. You know what? Yeah, it's pronunciations are hard. It's what it is. The 15th. We don't have anything until the 15th. The 15th Saturday, the San Francisco Censored for Your Safety Masquerade meetup will be at 3:00. At New Belgium Brewing, which I need to talk about in a moment. Also on the calendar for the 16th, Alexandria, Virginia, Philly, Pennsylvania, and Durham, North Carolina. On the 20th, Denver, Charlotte, North Carolina. The 22nd, Chicago, Long Beach, Kansas City, Missouri, Springfield, Missouri. The 23rd, Myrtle Beach, Florida. The 28th, Santa Ynez. The 28th, Knoxville, Tennessee. The 29th, Rhode Island and Amarillo, Texas. The 30th, Brisbane, Australia. And we're already filling up through June. This is a very full calendar, but that means that people are getting out. They're desperate to hang out with other people. You'll find that a no agenda meetup is a very relaxing experience because no one cares. They just want to hang out, chat, shoot the breeze, have a beer, and learn about other people. Noagendameetups.com is where you can find all of the listed meetups. If there's one that's too far from you or just nothing nearby, it's simple. Make one yourself. Noagendameetups.com. It's like a party.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Triggered on hell to flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same.
Now, I mentioned New Belgium Brewing. And New Belgium Brewing, I did not know this. I have a clip about New Belgium Brewing. Are you familiar with this this brewery, New Belgium Brewing?
I know it exists.
Okay. So they, I guess Fat Tire is one of their beers, and people like the Fat Tire beer.
Oh, yeah, people love Fat Tire.
Well, they have now decided... to get people, to motivate people to do something about the climate emergency, they have brewed a special batch of Fat Tire called Scorched Earth. And they've tried to make it taste the way beer will taste if we don't do anything about the climate. So they've made a beer that intentionally tastes like ass. And they're proud of it.
If this was the beer of the future, I would probably drink less beer. Working on this project was a trip, but it makes total sense. Beer is such a biological and an agricultural product that it's going to be so affected by climate change. So it's kind of interesting to think about what beer could look like in this world that we're trying to avoid. We wanted to think about how climate change would affect things like agriculture and shifting climate zones and intense weather events. So some of the ingredients we chose were we picked a smoke malt, and so that's supposed to emulate forest fires. We also wanted to pick some more drought and weather tolerant grains. So we picked buckwheat and millet. The other thing that we put in there is we used hop extract because those hops are such a delicate agricultural product. One of my favorite beers is definitely Fat Tire, and I think that it's kind of sad to compare the two. It just doesn't have a lot of the things that make Fat Tire great, including that nice sweet balance with the bitterness and like that nice fresh hop aroma to it. And I think that's just going to be really hard to accomplish in the future where we don't have access to all these great ingredients. I hope people react to this beer, and I think that they'll see that this is a future we don't want. That they'll understand that we can still change things. We can make it so this doesn't become the future of beer, that beer can continue the way it is now and can be that great thing that we all love.
Okay, so what you've done is you've proven these guys are just a bunch of dumb shit douchebags.
Yes.
Virtue signaling to beer drinkers.
I mean, if this has got
By
to
the
be...
way, I was just going to say, there are areas on the equator which have the climate of the future now.
Mm-hmm.
And they make beer fine. They're making beer. They make beer in Thailand, Singha. Mexico makes beer. I mean, it's not like you can't make a good beer in a hot climate. So this is bull crap.
It's virtue signaling. And in the video, you see people sampling the beer and they're making grimacing faces. And what is wrong with you as a business person if you're going to intentionally create a crappy product to make this point? That's peak woke right there.
It's peak woke.
Peak woke.
Peak woke.
Peak woke, baby.
Did we have that as a show title in the past?
Sounds like something we would come up with. But I wrote it down to check. Hey, ISOs, what you got?
Oh, I've only got one.
Oh,
and
my.
It's one that I picked up out of my own archives of sound effects.
Ooh. Oh, all right. Sexy.
Because I was going to use it with a clip. This is excellent.
Excellent.
I think I may have you beat. I have a trifecta, three things we can check here.
Okay, go.
Here's one.
Let's have a frank talk about shrinkage.
Too big, too long.
Tony Fauci is a moron.
Next thing, I don't like that one.
And how about this one?
Just eat some beets, you dumbass.
Come on.
I didn't understand it.
That's you, baby.
Just eat some beets, you dumbass. Eat what?
Eat some beets, you dumbass.
The beets.
I guess
we're going... the beets. Mm. Well, I would say of those three...
Yeah.
Mine is also too long. The Fauci one is good.
Yeah, I think that's the one we got to go with. That makes the most sense. Let me just crank.
If you want to wrap, I got. I still have the cicadas report, or we could push that off.
Well, the cicadas. We still have another couple of weeks before they show up. Is it recipes you brought? How to cook them?
There's some discussion of eating them. My final clip's going to be this one then. Right. USA birth rates.
Oh, yes.
The number of states that saw more deaths than births last year is up sharply. New Hampshire Public Radio Sarah Gibson reports on the latest federal data related to the pandemic.
The U.S. saw 18% more deaths in 2020 than in 2019. That's according to provisional data from the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics. 20 states saw so-called natural decrease, more deaths than births in the year. Kenneth Johnson, a demographer at the University of New Hampshire, says this is a first.
Up until 2020, there had never been more than 5 states in the whole country that had natural decrease.
Johnson says this is not all due to COVID-19. Birth rates in the U.S. have been declining for more than a decade.
Yeah, this is a real problem. We're below the reproductive.
Yeah, we're like Italy.
Well, you know, but,
you know, we had an offbeat year, so I'm not so sure that it's like a trend, but it might be.
I think it's
a propaganda to say we need more immigrants, open the borders. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's possible, but I think we all know what this really is. I mean, I've been harping on this for at least 3 years.
Dogs are people too.
Stop treating your dogs like children. I saw them again yesterday. 2 poodles in a baby carriage. You people are sick.
2 poodles.
You are sick. You people are sick. It's okay. I don't hate dogs, by the way. I love dogs.
Especially if they're on skewers.
Coming up on noagendastream.com, episode 36 of Podcasting 2.0. Get the latest from the boardroom. And end of show mixes. Let me see. I have a nice little cornucopia lined up here. We've got 60 seconds of philosophy. We've got some Tom Starkweather. We've got some Jesse Coy Nelson. And I promised I'll play that sub-70 sucking in soot. Thank you to our end of show mixers. Thank you to everybody coming to you from Austin, Texas, capital of the Drone Star State, Opportunity Zone 33, FEMA region number 6 in the governmental maps. If you're looking for it, in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
and from Northern Silicon Valley, where I wish a happy Mother's Day to my deceased mother, Mimi and Jesse. I'm John C. Dvorak.
And the same to my deceased mother and to Tina.
Oh, and also D up in Port Angeles.
Oh, yes, D, of course. Absolutely. Yes, for sure. All right, everybody. We'll see you on Thursday. Remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. Until then, adios, mofos and such. Bombastic Alex Jones music under it. Like this, like some, oh, she's an American hero flying in on a freaking eagle. Stop. You're ruining the opportunity to do anything with these clips.
Why the music bed all of a sudden?
Because it's a commercial. It's very annoying, and I would like to make a personal plea to people who make clips on Twitter and YouTube. There was something Dr. Simone Gold of America's Frontline Doctors, and she had a little bit there about ivermectin that I wanted to clip. And whoever made this video, oh, she's an American hero flying in on a freaking eagle. Stop.
Why the music bed all of a sudden?
Flying in on a freaking eagle.
New signs, the end may be near.
There are a ton of things in my life looking back that I wish I would have done differently.
Last weekend, I guess Saturday, I ran into Dr. Fauci at the Kentucky Derby.
And the actions we take now to set them up and set all of us up.
In just 60 seconds, the flying object that will crash somewhere this weekend on Earth.
Dr. Fauci, were you shocked to learn that people were angry with you?
Monetizing my amygdala to keep me on edge and buying my pillows and gold.
It's nice to see so many familiar masks.
It's just cowboy logic.
I only allow vaccinated people into my house.
Gail King, I went to check it out.
I am down literally.
200,000 people have been vaccinated so far at this site.
You may inadvertently and instantly infect somebody else who infects someone who really get in trouble. That could be someone's grandmother or grandfather, someone's wife.
Is this one of the same people who drank some, who ingested detergent fluid or whatever it was?
Our goal was to call on leaders to pledge dollars and doses to make vaccines available everywhere.
Let's have a frank talk about shrinkage.
I've got a perfect puzzle for you.
As we get older, we actually lose a significant amount of height. We lose about a quarter of an inch for every decade.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire.
In fact, some of the little tiny kids call me Jimmy Carter, and if they are Baptist, they probably call me Brother Jimmy.
And Rosalind Carter?
As incredible shrinking woman. The adventure of a brave woman whose biggest problem is growing smaller.
Are the Bidens giants? Well, we'll let the Washington Post tell the story.
You have to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
I said things that weren't true. I am sorry.
President Carter and Rosalind Carter?
Now it's me who looks like a giant.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on. When I first started college, when I went running, after 5 minutes, I started feeling a burning in my chest. And it was just me sucking in soot and smog. The smog was so bad, it was like, you might die.
Barack is an emissary of the devil, but you know that he's black, and that's all you want to know. I said this is blatant racism. It is destroying the dream. It is anti-Dr. King.
You African, you Jesse Jackson, you process head Al Sharpton, you are wicked. You are cruel.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
dose, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Tony Fauci is a moron.